The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
No sign, bro. It's Friday.
Hello, everybody.
WMMR, Philadelphia.
Housekeeping?
No, thank you. Sleeping.
Housekeeping, you want towels?
More towels. Need sleepy.
Housekeeping, you want me for a pillow?
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God.
You're listening to Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR with Preston Elliott.
You will listen to every damn word I have to say!
And Steve Morton.
Words are like bullets.
Plus, Casey Boy.
Lay off me, I'm starving.
Kathy Romano.
I'm going to destroy everything you own!
Nick McElwain.
I'm just not the hero type.
And Marissa Magnata.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
And now, Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Sound effect. He left. I don't know why. It's normally Casey's job, but
he went somewhere.
He has coffee.
Oh, there you go.
I understand that. It's Friday morning, so we welcome you to it, friend. And let's dive right into the weather forecast. You'll note.
Yeah, we didn't do this. Going on? We didn't do our Friday song.
I think that's
song.
Why he thought he had time.
Hello, oh, well, let's listen to the song, everybody.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Casey. How do you say hello?
You going to sing, Kath?
No. You were actually in key on that.
Hello, MMR. Hello to the listeners. Hello, everybody. How do you say hello?
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
So normally that comes first.
Okay, what did I do? What did I do? Did I put that in the wrong spot?
Yeah, and then you left the studio.
And then I left the studio because I just assumed everything was okay. I went and got you coffee.
I know. That was
it's very nice.
No set,
hey,
bro.
No set, bro. No set, bro. Here we go.
I threw that in. I got you coffee.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Okay.
Housekeeping.
Do we already go through all of this?
We already went through this.
We did?
Yeah,
okay.
Did that.
Wow, it takes that long to get coffee? Well, I do pour 3 cups of coffee.
You're like the coffee jockey.
I am the coffee jockey.
For everybody.
And nobody
has responsibility on his home without being asked, and it's a wonderful celebrated thing, so we forgive the misstep. It happened.
Yeah.
Listen, we haven't had a mistake like that ever in the 20-some-odd years.
No, in fact, we've never had a mistake.
Never.
In the show.
That was
ever. Today's the first day.
Let's
mark this down.
A mistake like that.
Okay.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Is anybody interested in the weather forecast?
Yeah!
Let's see. We are going to have mostly cloudy skies today. Slightly cooler to 61, yet the very much cooler stretch starts tomorrow. Sunshine on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, but the highs are going to only be topping out around 65 each day, so it will feel markedly cooler. Casey?
Yeah.
The traffic bed is up next. We do the traffic next. All right, let's take a look. See, I'm all out of sorts.
I know.
I did that too.
I apologize.
Let's take a look at NJM Insurance Group traffic. All right, Kathy, what's going on next?
The Schuylkill Expressway westbound between University and 30th Street. We have the road construction there. The left lane is closed. Keep that in mind. All weekend it will be closed. Expect delays. Also, westbound, the exit ramp at South Street closed. Eastbound, the on-ramp at South Street closed. The Vine westbound between Broad Street and the Schuylkill Expressway. We've got only the left lane getting by right now. It's 2 right lanes construction. They should be wrapping that up soon. The Ben Franklin Parkway outbound. We still have the outer drive that is closed. Also 22nd Street northbound closed between the Parkway and Spring Garden Street. And then in New Jersey, looks like we're moving along okay on 4255. No problems crossing any of the area bridges. This traffic report brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Save on organic Honeycrisp apples at Whole Foods Market for only $2.69 a pound through September 22nd. While supplies last, P.S. Prime members get an extra 10% off. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Friday, September 18th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the Philadelphia City Council formally banned police from using certain modes of restraint on crime suspects Thursday, including kneeling on a suspect's neck, and voted to open contract negotiations with the police union to the public. The contract bill called Let Philly Breathe, passed by the council, requires a public hearing to be held 30 days before a contract is officially proposed to the police union and allows for public comment on the initial proposal. proposal before it's submitted. The restraint bill incorporates into law bans on certain restraints that were already in or were recently added to the police department's conduct rules, but it also applies to other law enforcement agencies that operate in the city. Under the first bill, the public won't get a chance to comment on the final contract proposals, but the bill stipulates that the city report back to the council on how public comment was incorporated. Negotiations are ultimately decided by a mediator. City officials, including Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw and Mayor Jim Kenney, released a list of a few dozen changes to officer conduct codes, policing procedure, and disciplinary transparency that they hope to work on, some with the help needed from the council and others requiring the legislature's approval. Both the public hearing proposal and the bill to formally ban the use of restraints such as chokeholds, hog tying, and sitting, kneeling, or standing on the head, face, neck, chest, or back were introduced in June amid protests against police brutality in Philadelphia and around the country in reaction to the police killing of George Floyd. Outlaw announced in June that she would change the police code of conduct, which already barred chokeholds, to include a ban on kneeling or sitting on a suspect's upper torso or neck because of the medical dangers. Pennsylvania's highest court on Thursday handed victories to the Democratic Party in an election-related lawsuit that sought favorable fixes to glitches and gray areas in the battleground state's mail-in voting law. The state Supreme Court, which has a 5-2 Democratic majority, granted the Democratic Party's request to order an extension of Pennsylvania's Election Day deadline to count mail-in ballots for 3 days after Election Day. It also authorized the use of satellite election offices and drop boxes, which Philadelphia and its heavily populated suburbs are planning to use to help relieve the pressure from an avalanche of mail-in ballots expected in the November 3rd presidential election. The court's ruling comes as Governor Tom Wolf, a Democrat, and the Republican-controlled legislature are at a stalemate over some of the issues less than 7 weeks before the election. Halloween is fast approaching, and the big question is, will trick-or-treating be canceled? If no, how will it be different because of COVID? Hamilton Mayor Stephen DiDonato says a decision on Halloween will be made on the 28th of the month. Now, the state of New Jersey says that this point, they have no official guidance yet, but in a press conference last week, Governor Phil Murphy said it will go on. In Philadelphia, it appears trick-or-treating will go on there as well. The Philadelphia Health Department released a statement saying because Halloween is not a singular event, it would probably be impossible to ban or cancel.
And Halloween's on a Saturday, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That you got that. Los Angeles banned it and then walked that back.
Okay.
They walked it back and said, we're not officially saying yes, but do what you're going to do.
Officials in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania say that they're working on guidance. As for the state of Delaware, the health department says it will be putting out guidance, but Halloween and trick-or-treating will go on. So it looks like it's going to happen.
I mean, Saturday Halloween is the stuff you wait. You know, as a kid, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, there was a great story, and I sent it over to Preston, so maybe we'll talk about it later. But one dad in Ohio, he kind of made some changes to the house and how he's going to give candy out.
Oh, really?
It's awesome.
Okay.
It's really cool.
Because I've been talking to Preston about this. There's a contraption that I want to
Well, that's what this
create.
Guy did. He made something.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I can't wait
to see
his.
Visit later on. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. All right, let's do sports. The Phillies lost to the New York Mets again last
week. Already.
Brandon Nimmo had two RBI tying triple in the sixth inning and hit a go-ahead solo home run in the ninth to lead the New York Mets to a 10-6 win. Bryce Harper homered.
There's nothing on here.
Bryce Harper homered twice for the Phillies, who lost for the fifth time in six games.
It is ridiculous how terrible this bullpen is.
The Phillies have another doubleheader today as they open up a weekend series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Game one will get underway this afternoon, and Zach Eflin will get the start for the Phillies. First pitch is scheduled for 4:05. In the NBA playoffs, the Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics 106-101 to take a 2-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 3 is Saturday night in Orlando. Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals is tonight as the LA Lakers take on the Denver Nuggets. Tip-off is scheduled for 9 o'clock. And the Flyers have re-signed right wing Nicholas Obey-Kubel to a 2-year contract extension worth a little more than $2 million. The 24-year-old appeared in 36 regular season games and 13 playoff games for the Flyers this season, along with 26 games for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. During the regular season with the Flyers, he recorded 7 goals and 8 assists. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome to Friday. We have a few things planned. I'm thinking about maybe throwing in just a spontaneous drunk day today because, you know, I mean, while Kathy was doing the news, I spilled my coffee all over the freaking
Oregon console here. The goddamn fire alarm was going off in the building this morning. We had the wrong intro. There's just been a number of things.
You know what, though?
And I've been having this dangerous trend lately when things have been bothering me. I just decide I need to start drinking.
Yeah. Well, that,
which is not a good thing, and I realize that. But it nonetheless.
There is a healing power to alcohol, though, isn't there?
Yeah. Are we overlooking this? Yeah.
I mean, you use rubbing alcohol for medical purposes. Oh. Why not internally for regular spirits?
We can fix that beginning of the show in post, guys. Don't worry about it. We'll just get, you know.
No,
we'll,
it's already
clean
out.
It up.
It's
there's a vodka soda right behind you in a beer holder, Preston.
I know there
you
is.
You can grab that.
It's in the new Preston and Steve shower beer holder and Bluetooth player, which is available on the Rock Shop.
Did we get a confirmed status on the availability? Because I know they were selling briskly.
They are available. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. We had an issue with the purchasing, but that's been fixed. And if you would like to get that now, maybe you'll receive it in the mail in time to have a beverage this morning, along with the rest of us that are drinking. And not only that, but we also have Kathy's Fall Activities T-shirt, which is these items are what's called a flash sale. So they're for a limited time. I think Tuesday is when the wrap ups,
you know,
happen.
I'm sitting on the couch watching TV last night. My wife says to me, did you know that you can raise baby chicks? And I go, where are you reading that from? And she looks and she goes, oh, it's from your show. She got sent your Fall Activities.
That's
like,
funny.
I know, we talked about it.
That's funny.
And she, I mean, you don't want to do that, do you? Yeah. She desperately wants. Yeah, so
your,
now we're going to go do
it. Cats
that.
Want them. Want, you
so
guys to do it as
I
well.
I said, "Hun, do you sure do you want to do this in a house with 9 cats?" But
like, yeah,
our garage is actually
perfect for
warm.
It.
Yeah,
and you know
right.
what? If you are going to keep them in the garage, now is a good time to do it because the room does have to stay, you know, decent. It can't be too hot or too cold. So fall is perfect for that. You know, fall activities.
Yes, it's exactly what that is.
Fall activities.
All right. So happening on the show this morning, we have Mark Summers, who's going to be checking in. There's a charity event that he's a part of. So we love talking to Mark. He'll be on in the 8 o'clock hour. We also have this gentleman. His name is Paul Saltzman, and he has created this documentary called Meeting the Beatles in India. And the short story is that he was looking for he wanted to join the Maharishi in India.
Yeah, so it was a big thing. Yeah,
across India, and he showed up. And they said, no, I'm sorry, we're not taking outsiders right now because the Beatles are here. And he eventually talked him into letting him be there, even though the Beatles were staying. And he was one of just a handful of people that was a part of that group that were with the Maharishi, who was this Indian guru. And he got to hang out and spend a lot of quality time with the Beatles for more than a week or so.
Photographing.
Yes. He's got all kinds of cool pictures that have never been seen before. He sat on this stuff for decades.
I mean, think of the level. To put it in perspective, if you're not impressed by just hearing that, think of where the Beatles were at that time. And, I mean, it's just astonishing that he got to do that.
And they were in the middle of writing the White Album while they were there. A lot of songs from the White Album came from that trip. So we'll talk to him. And also, we have a local actress. Her name is Amy Rutledge. She's very excited to be on the show. I saw her tweeting about it.
She's morning. Awesome.
And she's in a movie called Rent-A-Pal. Really disturbing-looking movie with Will Wheaton. And you can rent it now at rentapal.movie. But, we're gonna find out what it's all about and so on. So we have a few guests on the show. We give away our Word of the Week prize this morning. Entertainment Report. We'll get to that in a second with the stupid question. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Do me a favor. Every time some little baby pain in the ass thing happens this morning, let me know because I want to keep track.
Why, what else
I've already had several. And Casey just banged his knee under the console here. He got this look on his face like, oh my God.
I heard it. Yeah. I heard it over
and
here.
It was one of those like, you got, like, A, it hurt. Yes.
You
got
to be kidding me.
But you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Exactly. I see no coffee on the console. We've messed up the beginning of the show.
She has one.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
Yes.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
Kathy, what? What happened to you?
So we didn't have Kathy's cuts this year. Somebody just sent me their ponytail. I don't make wigs.
That is sweet.
That's very sweet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is sweet.
Oh, my God.
But I'm just going to go through the process online, and I'm going to send it in because I don't want it to sit here.
That box that's on your, next to your computer, someone sent you a finger, too.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to keep track. The fire alarm went off this morning. It was deafeningly loud. Okay. I spilled my coffee. The show intro messed up. Casey banged his knee. Kathy was sent a ponytail.
Preston.
What?
I drove, and so there was an indication earlier this morning. I drove past behind two people who went the speed limit right next to each other for like 2.5 miles on the stretch of road. Oh. And I'm like, you've got to be. I'm like, it's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Somebody move over.
You're allowed to go 40 in a 35. You mother
All right.
Effers.
All right. Well, that's not quite.
That's
the
not
level,
quite. Are you sure?
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Give it to me. Give it to me. It's Friday.
I'll give it to you. No sad, bro. All right. Stupid question. I got an email from. Who was this? Chris Moore emailed me this morning with a stupid question. I'm going to use it because it's a really good one. So we all know, or most of us know, that Video Killed the Radio Star was the first video that MTV ever played. What was the second video
that
came after that? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. I don't know if we've ever asked that question before, but I thought it was a pretty cool one. By the way, we're going to give away a carload pass for up to 4 people to see Nate Bargatze at the Circle Drive-In Theater in Scranton. That's coming up next Thursday. Birthdays today. While we are awaiting your answer, Friday, September 18th, Lance Armstrong is 49 years old today. Haven't really heard much from him in quite a while. Obviously he.
There was a documentary that was out a couple of years ago. It was riveting. I think I've told you guys about it before. It started out as a laudatory piece on his accomplishments, and then everything broke. They stopped production of the documentary, and then he eventually was caught and admitted it. And the second part of the documentary becomes, dude, what did you do?
Yeah. So there's a documentary that's on, I believe it's Netflix. It could be Amazon Prime, about this guy who, like. So, obviously, these guys are the best of the best. And then there's another tier down from these guys. And they are really, really good. And so there's this guy who decided to dope up for an entire year and document it the entire time. And and just to see how he would fare against these guys that he knew were basically doping.
Yep.
And it went down this entire rabbit hole. And it ended up sort of uncovering all of this stuff that happened with the Russian Olympians, if you guys recall, a couple of years ago.
With the doping. Okay.
Yeah, but like these guys. And so
I don't know if I'd start doping myself.
He did it under like doctor
supervision.
Mm-hmm. So he was doing it as safe as possible. But, you know, essentially, he actually did worse the following year because everybody else is doping, too.
Okay. Lance Armstrong is 49. Frankie Avalon, the great singer.
He dopes.
Four Seasons is 80 years old today. We had a brief conversation with him when the Geeter came by one morning. He's like, let's get Frankie Avalon a call. And we did. And he was a very nice guy. You don't remember that?
I don't. No.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, we called him and spoke to him. I'll never forget because he said he was having eggplant for breakfast that morning. I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Oh, that's great.
So he's one of the all-time greats. So happy 80th birthday to Frankie Avalon. Robert Blake Beretta, acquitted after facing charges of murdering his wife. He is 87 today.
He had a stellar legal team because every piece of evidence in that case pointed to him killing his wife. But come on. If you remember that whole court thing, the proceeding, everyone was going, all right, he's going to jail. And then they found him innocent.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Remember, he was like singing songs in court.
He was singing songs in court. There were a couple really good trials at that time. Phil Spector was going on.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
So he left his gun in the restaurant.
I don't
remember
the specifics.
Yeah, just check the story out on Wiki and just read the actual progression of what he says happened, and it's absurd.
He's 87. Jada Pinkett Smith is 49 years old today, and they were in the news recently about her with this hip hop star and
open marriage.
It was weird. Yeah. And they denied it, or they denied that Will gave the go ahead on it. But anyhow, they're still married, and she's 49. Holly Robinson Pete.
I like her.
Is 56, and she and
Rodney
Pete are still together after all these years. Yep. I saw them on a commercial a couple of years ago for some product.
Oh, yeah, I just saw one for them the other night. It's like insurance or some sort of home, mortgage program.
James Marsden of X-Men fame and The Notebook and Hairspray. Like, he's one of those multi-talented guys. He can do the singing, dancing, acting, all of it.
And comedy, which I would not have suspected.
Yep, he's 47 today. Allison Lohman, who is also an actress. Steve, she played the love interest in Big Fish.
Yes.
The younger love interest.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, she's been in a few other movies as well, like Matchstick Men and Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah, she reminds me, I think, a lot, if I'm recalling correctly, of Starlight.
She's very similar to Starlight. Yeah, very similar look. All-American look.
41 today. Jason Sudeikis is 45 today.
He's lucky, man.
He is.
Olivia Wilde.
Yes. Saturday Night Live, Horrible Bosses, hilarious in that. So he's 45 today. Patrick Schwarzenegger. Who's he related to?
Yeah.
Oh, Arnold.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the
Chris
son.
Pratt.
Yeah. So he's the son with Maria, obviously, right?
Yeah. He's 27, so yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
So happy birthday to
and
him.
And what's the name of the son that he has with the house cleaner?
I don't remember. And last but not least, happy birthday to the United States Air Force.
Yeah.
Nothing can stop the U.S. Air Force.
What is the name of that? Because I can't find it anywhere.
It is off we go into the wild blue yonder.
Yeah, it's not. It's off not under Air Force.
Into the wild blue yonder, flying high into the sky. Take it away, Kathy. Okay. The United States Air Force is 73 years old today, youngest in the main military branches. And of course, because, flight got started a little bit later than sailing.
So now are they technically second because of Space Force?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I was,
But there,
I
just
wasn't
cool.
counting Space Force. So happy birthday, U.S. Air Force, at 73 years old today.
I wonder if they'll actually ever institute the X-Men, Preston.
They need to.
Why not?
People have powers.
Their incredible powers would really help this country.
Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Video Killed the Radio Star was the first video MTV ever played. What was the second? All right. We will go to, let's see. I will go to James and see if he knows the answer. Hey, James, good morning.
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
Nah, well, if you give us the wrong answer, you'll be bothering us. But what is the answer we're looking for?
Pat Benatar, You Better Run.
You're right.
Yeah! I love that video.
That's a great song, too. So hang on. James, we're going to get your information. Yeah, that's the classic Pat Benatar.
Pat Benatar, the chanteuse, yeah.
Yep, the short hair and the black and white striped shirt. She was
sexy.
Sexy and badass, man. So we are going to set him up with a Carlo Pass for up to four people to see Nate Bargatze at Circle Drive-In Theater in Scranton on Thursday, September 24th. And tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. All right, let's get to the entertainment stories. We will start with this. After being diagnosed with COVID-19 and shut out on the set of The Batman, Robert Pattinson was spotted making out with his model girlfriend, Suki Waterhouse, in London.
Wait, Suki?
What? Yeah, that's Bradley Cooper's.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
And this is in London, so apparently he's on the mend, and Warner Brothers confirmed as much, saying that the film will resume production.
Yay!
Following a hiatus is the official statement. Following a hiatus for COVID-19 quarantine precautions, filming has now resumed on The Batman in the UK.
Man, that trailer they released, which was sort of cobbled together with just what they had shot up to that point, looks sensational.
It will star Paul Dano as the Riddler, Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman, and Colin Farrell as the Penguin. And I haven't seen any of those guys in their characters yet.
No.
Which would be kind of interesting.
No.
Andy Serkis, is going to play Alfred. And Peter Sarsgaard, John Turturro, and Jeffrey Wright also star. Matt Reeves is directing.
Jeffrey Wright is Commissioner Gordon.
The pair have been socially distancing with each other since the pandemic, meaning Robert and Suki.
Suki!
They were spotted wearing masks when their lips weren't locked and strolling around London. So they're back at it, which is cool. Lori Loughlin's request to serve her 2 months of time for bribery at low security prison that's dubbed a camp in Victorville, California, has been approved.
Do they ever go the other way and say, how about I do one weekend at Chino State Prison?
And we'll call it
even.
Yeah, that's That's an interesting...
Right? I tell you what.
Shorter time, and yeah, I'll do Chino.
Can you imagine?
The same judge who derided the Full House star for being greedy at her sentencing approved the facility closest to her home in California, preferably the camp at FCI Victorville, the documents say. Instead of cells facility, he features open-day dorms and four-person dorms, according to reports.
Not that I ever wish this for you or incarceration for you of any kind, but obviously you have a prison right near you. It'd be very convenient.
It would be convenient for visitation and
such.
Yeah, so, yeah, maybe I'll go to Phoenixville. Or no, it's Phoenix, I'm sorry. So SCI Phoenix. Long before the toxic work culture at the Ellen DeGeneres Show, before they were being officially investigated by Warner Brothers Television, staffers there at TMZ and the Rosie O'Donnell Show say that the cultures were famous for allowing bad behavior to thrive.
So the TMZ saying the Rosie O'Donnell Show had a similar situation?
No. That at TMZ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the Hollywood Reporter has released this article. A new investigation delves into some of the details and the culture at Telepictures, a subsidiary of Warner Brothers that produces Ellen and TMZ and produced Rosie until it was canceled in 2002. This is interesting. So this is who's speaking in this quote. It leads with a quote. I wish they would say who it was first.
Right. It's Frankie Avalon.
A former Telepictures producer who worked at the company in the early 2000s said, what you had at Ellen are showrunners who came from notoriously toxic environments. So what resulted was the worst of all those worlds, a place where the EPs, which is the executive producers, cater to the host, restrict virtually every other staffer's access to the host, and then make you work 80 to 90 hour weeks almost for sport because that's what they had to do. I kind of figured that this is the scenario.
Really?
That the figurehead, the host, is probably not the hardcore taskmaster.
The buffer between the people and the... We see this in general when we deal with celebrities. Their handlers are the ones that are going to be the really... difficult ones to work with. Well, 99% of the time, not
then,
every time.
So but then what?
They pamper the big name.
Yeah.
They say, we're going to take care of it. You know, we'll do this and this. And the big name says, okay, here's how I'd like things to go. And then they turn around and then they do that with an iron fist. And the host probably doesn't see the goings on of that.
I bet
so what,
you
and then but then it comes back on that name
on
as if like, okay, so Ellen is so terrible.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it's not the case, but I think Preston makes a legitimate case. Think David Spade in Coneheads, that kind of suck up sort of guy.
Yeah. So among the allegations made anonymously to the Hollywood Reporter, verbal abuse, frequent and unwarranted firings, and conversely vague contracts that made it difficult to leave, overworking, instances of gender discrimination, absent or ineffective human resource departments, and nepotism. In a statement of the Hollywood Reporter, Warner Media says, we are hopeful that our industry has finally reached a turning point and recognizes that behavior that may have been tolerated decades ago simply can no longer be accepted. To that end, we take all allegations of abuse or discrimination seriously, regardless of time frame, and will investigate those claims. Since Warner Brothers launched an investigation, three top executives have been fired. DeGeneres apologized, and several changes were made to the benefits and vacation plan.
Now, she's saying that when she returns to the show, she is going to address this on the show.
Yeah.
And I'll be curious to see what that's like.
Yeah.
I know. Mark another one down, Preston.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
Frankie Valli is the person we spoke to.
Yeah.
Of the four. And we played four seasons, and we talked about the four seasons.
Yeah.
He
wasn't in the four seasons.
That's why I paused when you said in the studio. I'm like, Frankie Avalon?
Yeah. I didn't even have Four Seasons music ready to go until Preston said Four Seasons, so I'm going to blame it on him.
I'm a dumbass. thank you, John and John and Chuck, who are on the phone line.
Yes, thank you, guys.
You're right.
You guys are right.
The Beach Blanket movies, and he's got like 13 children, and he is not Frankie Valli at all. I'm done.
No, I'm leaving. It's okay.
I'm now sad, bro.
Oh, my God. Wait a second.
Look what you did, John and Chuck.
Do me a favor. Turn around to that that can of wine in your
and put it to right use. There.
Yeah.
We could do a drunk date. When you guys give me a ride home, right?
Yeah. Nick said he would.
I'll drive you home.
Right. Yeah, we do live fairly close. Yeah.
Absolutely. Let me just get my car, Uber.
No, I'll I'll drive you home, and if you need me, I'll be in your backyard.
Okay. Yes, please. All right. So
it's too chilly today, Kathy.
You know, let me see. We have a hot
pool
tub.
Pool is heated.
We have a hot tub too. All right. Anyway.
You think he got a pool and it wasn't heated?
At TMZ, by the way, let's move over to TMZ. Female employees said that they were discriminated against. 1,000% founder Harvey Levin gives men preferential treatment, says Bernadette Zillio, who appeared on camera on TMZ. And the running joke, she said, is that when a girl speaks, he doesn't look in your direction. It's like he doesn't see you. He really only listens to what the guys have to say. It's always sexist and disgusting and just offensive, she said.
Well, if you ever watch the show, when they're sitting around, they're it's an annoying collective of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they're all vying for their big moment to be the breakout TMZ reporter star.
Yeah.
And each one is, and the women are just as obnoxious as the men. And I didn't notice, but they all seem to be vying to say that outlandish thing, correct?
Right. No, I agree with you. And if there was one show that I wouldn't mind seeing getting burned to the ground, that would be that one.
Yeah. If you want to talk about something that's, you know.
Keep Ellen alive, please. And then by all means, get rid of TMZ.
The parody that they did Never Stop Stopping.
It's hilarious.
Will Arnett basically plays the Harvey Levin, and Mike Birbiglia is in it. And it's so spot on. And it's, you know, obviously he's amplified, but it's damn funny.
So, Preston, Levin is always drinking out of like this cup with the big straw, and so they have Will Arnett is doing it, but he's got this impossibly huge like jug, and as Nick said, it's hilarious.
Well, we're watching a clip of it right now, and he's like, you know, hanging his arm over the cubicle, like reaching halfway down the way they do on TMZ. All right, so anyhow, now also there were broader cultural problems at Telepictures, according to THR, where execs frequently made racially charged remarks. The real one source told THR was referred to by some executives during the early development process as the, quote, the down market view or the ghetto view. The second source at the Telepictures offices at this time corroborated this observation. And a corporate office employee said it was definitely an environment where I was, to my face and about me, told some of the most racist things I've encountered in my career. So they're taking a look at all of this stuff. All right, on to lighter stuff in the entertainment news. Jimmy Kimmel is set to host the Emmy Awards on Sunday, his third and surely the weirdest stint presiding over TV's biggest night. This year, the show will be virtual due to the pandemic.
I saw on some social media channels last night, were there pre-Emmys last night?
Yeah, they do that for technical stuff. Yeah, because like The Mandalorian won a bunch of stuff already.
In awards that didn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, because Trent Reznor won, and Atticus Finch for
Watchmen.
Yeah, for Watchmen.
And he won for To Kill a Mockingbird.
Atticus
Finch.
Atticus Ross.
That's better.
Excepting for music composing, The Watchmen, fictional character and lawyer Atticus Finch.
I'm going to add another one to the
list. Boo Radley. Yeah.
Boo Radley accepting. I don't know much about music.
It's a pretty good speech.
I know, hey, but very honored.
Accepting is Nell. How about I'd love to hear Nell's accepting.
As Nell once told me, Sion Kong Kong.
It's sitting right behind you, Preston. All you have to do is pull right tab.
Come on. Don't
oh,
be a
I
pussy.
Can hear it. Just it's calling it. To me. I can hear the booze saying,
Preston.
I'll make everything okay.
Yeah, we're listening to Frankie Avalon.
Prez, we're going to put that in the fridge right now. And get that nice
no,
and cold.
No, I don't even
you.
Deserve it to be cold. I need
it in
it
the
to
oven.
Be warm.
Gregory Peck gets up there.
It's an honor to accept this award.
First, there's going to be no red carpet. Second, Kimmel will not have special guests with him on stage, nominees, or an audience to join him in the celebration. He will be presenting from the Los Angeles Staples Center with a small crew. 125 award hopefuls will appear live from their homes in 20 cities. And they will be using equipment sent to them from the Academy.
He's already saying, and I think it's smart that he's doing this, he's saying, prepare for the least viewed Emmy Awards presentation of all time.
Yeah. Steve, do you think the script actually said Cy Edelon Kong Kong, or she just made that up?
They probably wrote something that was just as a focus, okay. But I think she was riffing that. No, you know what? I did actually. There was a documentary about that. But we're talking about Nell and the language
Thank
that
you.
She speaks.
Yeah.
It was actually...
There was a documentary?
There was... Yeah, I know. that somebody created that language, because that's supposed to be the language she learned from her mother, who had had a grandmother, I think, who had a stroke, and was that's the way she spoke.
Yes. And so she was trying to convey certain things. Yeah. So she probably had in mind what she was saying, and they had words to replace what she was really being said.
Yeah, so like...
And again, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Sigh could have been like the...
Can I move on to entertainment stories? I have a stack of stuff here, and we have several guests on the show today.
I thought we were dissecting the movie now.
Tatiana Maslany is how you say her name, I guess, is going to portray She-Hulk in a new TV series for Disney+.
Wait a second. I heard it was Alison Brie.
It's Tatiana Maslany.
Huh.
And it's from Disney Plus, according to multiple reports. The orphan black star, recently seen on HBO's Perry Mason, has yet to comment on the news.
She's super talented.
In the Marvel Comics, She-Hulk's alter ego is Jennifer Walters, cousin to Bruce Banner. She receives the powers of the green, beefy superhero thanks to a blood transfusion from her relative.
Now, and I also heard, now when they were talking about Alison Brie playing the character, that She-Hulk is going to be a CGI rendering a la Mark Ruffalo in Endgame.
We'll see if that ends up being the case. Not many details are known about the plot of the series, though it has reportedly already opened a writer's room, and it joins upcoming Disney Plus Marvel series like WandaVision, Loki, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
God, I'm waiting for these shows. Mm-hmm. Everything got, you know, I was so excited because also it would have been sort of like a bridge to get us through to the next cluster of superhero movies.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that.
Maslany was a relatively unknown, and when she began her time on critically acclaimed BBC series Orphan Black in 2013. But she's going to be She-Hulk.
She-Hulk keeps her speech ability. She's smart. As you said, she's a lawyer. It's a very interesting character, and there's a big sense of humor around her as well.
High School Musical alum Ashley Tisdale and her husband, Christopher French, are expecting their first child together.
Why do I like Ashley Tisdale?
I like her a lot, too. There's something really kind of adorable about her. They shared this Thursday on Instagram with some cute pictures. Her pals weighed in immediately, and Vanessa Hudgens had replied, "Just the freaking cutest," is what she had to say. Mm-hmm. The trailer for the table read of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, starring Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston, officially titled Dane Cook Presents Feelin' Alive, has dropped after technical delays. The reading also features Julia Roberts, Matthew McConaughey, Sean Penn, Morgan Freeman, Jimmy Kimmel, Ray Liotta, Shia LaBeouf, and Henry Golding.
Now, is Morgan Freeman playing Spicoli?
Yeah, he is. Yeah absolutely. That was my skull. He will deliver that classic
that
line.
That sound you just heard was my skull.
The Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Now that's my pizza, Mr. Hand.
Virtual table read will take place Thursday, September 17th at 9 p.m. Wait a minute.
What?
That was yesterday.
Oh, how was it? Oh, my God. Look at Brad Pitt. We're watching video of the deal.
And, yeah. I don't know why this report says the virtual table read will take place Thursday, September 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Coors, Facebook, and TikTok pages. Maybe it already aired and I didn't even know it.
Yep.
It did? Really?
God damn it.
So, but it was great.
Well, awesome.
Frankie Valli gives it two thumbs up.
Congratulations.
He said, oh, what a night.
We provide...
The Preston and Steve Show. Information you can use.
Yesterday.
I'm not marking that one down because that one wasn't my fault.
No, that wasn't. That was the prep's fault.
Well, yes. Hey, the show intro wasn't your fault either.
It's okay. It's a collective thing. So, okay. I mean, it's no one in this room's fault. So how about that?
But look, Kathy, am I incorrect in saying that Brad Pitt looks a little...
Are you serious?
Beat up?
Yeah, he looks terrible.
He looks thin.
He
looks a little gaunt.
Yeah.
In this particular... His hair is kind of messy, but he looks a little thin.
I would love to look that bad.
Jennifer Aniston looked terrible,
looked like he was in jail. Like, it looked like he was in an interrogation room.
Yeah, it's a stark black background. But his shoulders look kind of bony, right?
Yeah, they do.
Looks thin.
Yeah, okay.
You don't look very good.
Let's see here. Well, this guy's not having a good day. This is a follow-up. Netflix's Cheer. This guy, Jerry Harris, he's been arrested on federal child pornography charges.
Whoa.
days after being sued by his twin brothers who accused him of misconduct. The 21-year-old has been charged with producing child pornography, so they have to have some evidence on him.
So this is, a bad confluence of events, because Netflix has been losing a lot of people have been dropping their subscriptions over that movie Cuties, which is pretty controversial. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, me either. Let's see. Melrose Place alum Amy Locane is headed back to prison for 8 years. The sentencing is related to a fatal 2010 DWI crash near Princeton. The accident killed 60-year-old Helene Seaman and severely injured Helene's husband, Fred. Her blood alcohol content was reportedly 3 times the legal limit.
Oh, wow.
Original conviction earned her a 3-year sentence in 2013, but there have been multiple appeals and resentencing. But it says headed back to prison for 8 years.
So they're saying she won't do 8. They'll say some of the time she served will go towards that. So it'll probably be closer to 5 or 6. But Preston, this girl was super fresh faced, you know, beautiful young starlet. She was on Melrose Place early, Kathy. And she's in the movie Cry Baby with Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. And man, she was just she got arrested a number of times, like 4 or 5 times in a row for DUIs.
Oh,
and
really?
Yes. And then killed this woman.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Wait, is there a difference between a DUI and a DWI?
I don't think so. I think it depends on the state and how they define it.
Okay.
But I think it's essentially the same thing. That's my understanding. But then again, it's me talking here. let's see. Jaden Smith is hosting the Solution Committee on Snapchat. The unscripted series will tap activist and his celeb pals in a bid to explore how social and racial justice can be affected and encouraging viewers to vote.
Wait, there's Snapchat shows?
I guess so.
I had no idea.
Yeah. The show bows September 21st, the day before National Voter Registration Day. His parents, Will and Jada Pinkett Smith, are producing this event.
I watch all my TV on Candy Crush.
AMC has unveiled the first trailer for AMC's Gangs of London, starring Joe Cole, Colm Meaney, Michelle Fairley, and Papa Isidou. The show dissects the power dynamics between London's array of gangs.
At what period of time are we talking?
It doesn't say in this particular story. Nick just pulled up a photo and a trailer. It looks like modern times. In this particular one, Gangs of London, which has been renewed for a second season, is set to start streaming on AMC Plus starting October 1st. AMC Plus, that's a streaming service. Okay. All right, now this is really cool. A space travel reality TV show is being planned that will send the winner to the International Space Station for a 10-day stay.
All right. Can we go back in history? And
I do remember you saying this.
This was an idea that I was like, we need to pitch this to Mark Burnett or somebody who wants to go to space.
How long ago did you come up with this idea?
10 years ago.
No kidding.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So apparently they listened to the show. U.S.-based production company Space Hero Incorporated has already gotten a seat on a 2023 mission to the space station that will go to the winner of the reality show, also called Space Hero. There will be a global search for everyday people from any background who share a love of space exploration.
Once on the space station, they will compete in a show called The Masked Astronaut.
Yes.
Really?
They just keep the face shield. Their helmet will be like a bird or asparagus.
Right, exactly. Rutabaga.
Yeah. The chosen contestants will then undergo extensive training, including challenges, testing their physical, mental, and emotional strength. Deadline reports the idea is for the end of the competition to have an episode broadcast live around the world during which viewers from different countries can vote for their favorite.
Now, if they do lose in that, if they get voted off, they get blown out the airlock, Preston.
That's what happens. That's
all right. So, is there a job like that's just like the idea guy at like a TV station?
No, there is no such guy.
There is. Yeah, there's project.
I should be hired like as an idea guy. I got a couple of good ideas.
Project development. Yeah.
I can't like develop it myself or write it.
And
or
those people don't.
Yeah.
Well, you need more than just a couple. You need like. You need to constantly be coming up with great ideas.
Look at the woman we talked to from local who did the Floor is Lava.
Right.
So the number of shows that are pitched to the amount that make it, it's hard. It's a hard existence.
I'm going to write down a segment, AC's Great Ideas. All right. Hang on a second here.
Fresh for the stealing.
All right.
While you're doing that, there is a small difference between DUI and DWI.
Do tell.
DWI is while intoxicated on alcohol. Under the influence can mean alcohol or drugs.
Okay. Intoxicated driving under the influence. Okay.
Yeah, so you can be under the influence of multiple things, but while intoxicated has to do with alcohol.
Then DWB is driving while blotto.
That's interesting, yeah. Because if you're on drugs, you're also intoxicated, right?
I suppose so, yeah.
I guess it's just different distinction so that you have it specifically in the law. So, all right, after a winner is chosen, by the way, the show will follow them through their journey to their space station on a SpaceX Dragon rocket. They're 10 days there with the astronauts. And their return to Earth.
And the host, Andy Dick.
Wow. Of Space Hero.
The smelliest
and
astronaut.
Space Hero.
Wow. Oh,
that's great.
All right. Let's, what?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't have any movies opening this weekend. Let's get to the news. All right. We will go with this. Antebellum links themes of the past and present, creating one of the year's most horrifying movies. In this clip, star Marquis Richardson talks about why the psychological thriller genre works for Antebellum.
One, it shocks you. Two, it makes you think. Three, it keeps you entertained. There's so many layers and so many elements to it that really just make you think, make you have a conversation that you can talk about with your friends. And at the end of the day, I feel like all art should spark some kind of conversation.
You can watch Antebellum on demand today. Here's the next clip. A deranged nurse seeks to infiltrate the mental health care system and those within it in the new Netflix series Ratched. In this clip, star Sarah Paulson discusses the after effect of filming the show's unsettling scenes.
I just feel like I've been doing it for so long over there on American Horror Story. So it loses its potency by the time you've been running around screaming from clowns and lanterns and monsters and ghosts. I'm not affected by it. I've become sort of numb to it.
Where are y'all gone? What?
So this is the backstory of Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
It's kind of cool.
It's available to watch on Netflix today, so that might be pretty cool. And there you go, your spotless entertainment report on a Friday.
Frankie Valli.
Yep. Frankie Avalon. Same person. Yet two people I still confuse.
Yeah, stop with the Frankies already.
Each other with. We have a few people on the show this morning. Mark Summers is checking in. Charity event coming up. We have a guy named Paul Saltzman. He has done a film called Meeting the Beatles in India. He spent time with the Beatles at the Maharishi's compound and has just now created, is telling the story and has documentaries. Seems pretty compelling. And also local actress Amy Rutledge for this freaky film called Rent-A-Pal. So we have a few people to talk to and things to talk about. We hope you'll be a part of it. We're going to come back in just a moment, so stay with us. Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait.
We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
I was looking at this story the other day. You know, the wedding industry is huge.
Yes. That's how we made our money. Then we got into radio.
Yeah, and then we decided
what to do with this vast wealth?
Switch gears. No, but the industry is very, very big. There are thoughts that the industry, because of coronavirus, because of the pandemic, it may be changing somewhat forever.
Okay.
Which is interesting. So this is according to this woman named Jen Glantz. She runs a full-time business called Bridesmaid for Hire. So she's one of the people that's commenting on this and saying that even once it's over, the face of weddings may change a little bit because of this transition that we're all going through.
Does she suggest how?
Yeah. So people will plan weddings on a smaller budget because the size and scale of weddings may look much different. So people are realizing that maybe they can, because of this, get away with much smaller, much cheaper weddings.
I think that's actually very a salient point, because a lot of times I think now more than ever, as you start to come out of this, you could use that. We're obviously in these uncertain times, we're going to keep the number small.
Yeah.
And whether that's the case or not, you're planning, it's a good out.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to three different weddings this year. Two of them were postponed until next year. One they're going forward with is next month, but I also know that the one that they're going forward with, and obviously it's their choice, and what they want to do is totally cool, but they paired it way, way back. And a lot of the reason why they paired it way back is that many people aren't going to attend. They just don't feel comfortable doing that. So as a result, Preston, they're saving a lot of money.
Yeah. And man, I have always seen, and I've seen some of the ridiculous numbers that are spent on weddings, and what a absolute waste to some extent that it is.
And it's as Nick said, it's everyone's personal opinion.
Sure.
But Preston, I've been to very expensive blowout weddings, and I've had really good times at pared down. Our wedding was, you know, we went and had a destination wedding in Puerto Rico, and then had a party, basically, when we got back for friends. Not the usual trappings and all that, you know, and everyone had a really good time. It depends on if you're really close to the people that you're going to, and all that is sort of a predicate for how the event will pass along. But I don't think what you throw at the wedding is going to matter all that much. Expenditure wise,
yeah, because there's a number of things that you're expected to do, and when you sit down with a wedding planner, there's like a list of 50 things. You want to do this. You want to have these pictures here. Do you want to do this particular thing? Do you want to have people sitting in this way? And there's a gazillion different traditions. You don't have to do any of them.
No.
But as you sit down and start to pick and choose, you're like, yeah, we should do that one. Okay, we need to do that. Yep, we need to do that one too. And each one costs a little more money.
Well, that's the thing. I kind of disagree with what you're saying, because there are things that you need at a wedding in order to make it good, and sometimes that costs more money.
What is good, though?
I would say the music.
Is it good?
The music is like number one.
So, but in other words,
I was at a wedding that was absolutely beautiful. It was amazing, and the band sucked, and people sat, and like I just felt as though they didn't enjoy themselves as much as they could have if they had spent a little more money on the band.
I think there are variations on weddings that aren't considered enough. If you're having a wedding and you're having people come from all over, and you have a super loud band that drowns out any conversation where, you know, people haven't seen each other in a long time, To me, that kills it. So,
yeah, I could absolutely. That's what I'm saying. If you don't have a good band that knows what they're doing and knows the acoustics of the room.
But what I'm saying is, why even have dancing and that
because
whole
you
thing.
Dreamed of it your whole entire
I know,
life.
But I'm saying if you look at it, you don't really have to have that. You know
you
what
don't.
I mean?
You don't.
Now, if you want to make it a big party.
Well, that's what I mean. If you want people to have fun, you do.
I know, but maybe we don't even have to have
Preston.
You know what I mean?
Doesn't pin the tail on the donkey, get it done.
Yeah, but if that's not for the couple and they just want people to come and sit and chat, absolutely, that's a different type of wedding, and you can have fun with that as well.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
The mindset might be leading more, saving some money and not doing that part.
Look
of
for
it,
variations. So. It used to be you would never see people getting married on a Friday.
Right.
And now that's a popular day, right? So all those
cheaper and
all those shifts can actually, because if you end up, I think, Preston, to your point, if you end up after all this with an incredible bill for all this stuff, why put yourself back that much or put that much in the hole with this expenditure?
I'm divorced, but the year that I got married, I think I was the 12th of 12 weddings that year. And some of it ends up being keeping up with the Joneses, because you see your college friends and high school friends and whatever. And I got married in my 20s, and I think your perspective changes.
Right.
I know your perspective changes a lot from your 20s and early 30s, when most people get married, to later in life. If I were to get married again, my second wedding would be very, very different and probably a million times cheaper than my first. But, Kath, when you got married, how much of it was keeping up with the Joneses? How much of it was comparison to other friends?
I was pretty early on. Like, I had only had a few friends that got married, and you talk about your perspective changing. If I did another wedding, I would do it completely different. Not to say that I didn't. I mean, I liked my wedding very much, and I loved
it was great.
What
yeah, it was
I did.
Fun.
But yeah, there's things that I would do different, and I didn't know that because I hadn't been to so many weddings yet.
You wouldn't have murdered as many shrimp.
Right.
Yes.
No,
Most of the Atlantic died that year. But
by the
that's
way,
another thing, food at a wedding. That's extremely important. If you don't serve good food,
Mm-hmm. People are going to talk about it. The weddings that people remember are the weddings where there's good food and the weddings where there's bad food.
I hired musicians to play the reception, like, you know, before you went into the actual reception. What do you call that? Like the
cocktail hour.
Yeah. And they were like in the corner of this room that like nobody was in. Yeah. I'm like, so I look back at those things and it's there are little details. You go, why? Well, no, I would have put those people there. I would have put this here. You know what I mean? But like, always hindsight is 20/20.
By the way, Marissa is going to be officiating a wedding.
That's right.
Ah. In the near future. And wants advice. But real quick, before I go to her, I do want to mention that what this woman was saying was that she predicts weddings post-pandemic will be more personalized. What the couple wants as opposed to fitting what trendy bridal magazine show.
I agree with that.
And that weddings will become weekend-long affairs as opposed to just one-day events.
No. No.
You were with her, and then you weren't.
No, no, no. In fact, you're going in the wrong direction.
Hold on. She says...
A Zoom call would work.
She says, to be honest with you, before the pandemic, people were planning weddings that just looked like everyone else's that they didn't really want. Now, with so many changes happening, I think people are warming up to the idea of planning a different kind of wedding they never thought they wanted, but they end up being really happy with it. Keep an open mind, and maybe that open mind has your plans looking very different. So, but Marissa, you've been asked to officiate?
Yeah, talk about a way to save money. Just ask one of your guests to do the whole ceremony.
Wow.
Yeah, so my cousin is getting married. She is the quintessential pandemic bride. She had to cut her wedding down 75%. So she's having, you know, a quarter of what she was planning.
Think of the savings, though.
Yeah, right. Well, no, because that's a whole other thing. You ended up putting money down on stuff that you can't get now.
That's true.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a whole industry thing.
You nervous about it?
Yes.
Okay.
So are you, I am a minister of the Universal Life Church in Modesto, California, and I spent $75 on the complete packet that includes all this stuff. And I get asked by listeners.
Can help her.
I get asked by listeners a lot, Kathy, and I don't because... what would happen is that I would feel horrible then when I had to say no to someone else, and it would start up. And I think it's wonderful, and we support. And sometimes, you know, we'll do other things. But
plus, you really don't know what you're doing.
I mean, you just go in. I mean, if you can pretty much riff it, right? Do they have a specific type of ceremony they have in mind, or are they asking you to create it from the ground up?
I don't know, Steve. So just because we talk for a living, I guess everybody assumes that we can do this. But no, I think I need to like write out a whole.
I think you need to write
ceremony.
Something
yeah. Like, yeah, I need hey, to write
online.
Out stories and not prayers, but like a cute little poem or something.
Is it a Quaker wedding? A Quaker ceremony?
No, it's non-denominational.
Okay,
because so
Scientology.
A Quaker ceremony is the community marries the couple. I was at one time. Jim McGuinn, they had a Quaker ceremony.
Oh. Yeah.
So it's very, very informal. And there's a... I forgot how it works, but it's there's no real officiant. Somebody says something.
Right.
But it's the congregation, the people that are there, that are the community that are supposed to perform it or something like that.
Who does the no sad bro invocation?
Somebody will have to look that up.
No, it's going to be all eyes on me. And so I've like started to ask some people about things. And my one friend did wedding planning in a past life. And she reminded me to, you know, make sure you stand in the right position so that you're not in all of their photos when they're up at the, I don't want to call it the altar, but whatever that, you know.
Dude, you better get up on the altar because no one's going to see you.
Oh, he is so tall. They're both tall. Like she's probably 5'9" and she's probably taller than that. And he's 6-something. So I'm just going to be this little munchkin in the front.
God. You know, you should get our union guy, Steve, who's like 6'7".
Yeah.
And you come in like it's like Beyond Thunderdome.
You ride on his back.
But yeah, so I don't really know. I mean, it was a very quick conversation. She said their friend who was supposed to do it is lives in the Midwest and doesn't know if he's going to come in or not. So it's on me now. I have about over a month.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, and she was like, you know, just kind of like figure out whatever you want to say, if you want to share some stories or whatever it is. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm standing in front of my whole family and in front of my sister-in-law who does this, who has done this for like 15 years.
Well, get her advice.
It's their wedding, so you do need to make it special in some way.
Right.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I'm like, she's, you know, she's, because... she's my cousin on my mom's side. And she's like, you can just like tell some stories about Nana Pop. And I was like, what, when we like sat and ate peach ice cream in the kitchen? Like, I don't know. I have no idea where to even start.
Wow. I think shorter is always better. You know, like an error on the side of brevity. I did mine for my, I did my brother's a few years ago, Marissa, and I was really nervous when I did it, even though it's my brother and my family, you know, and I practiced, but I didn't practice enough. But like, if you're thinking of doing three stories, do two. If you're thinking of invoking, you know, three passages from the Bible, not that this is a particularly, yeah, you know, do one or two. Like the fewer you do, nobody in the audience is going to be disappointed.
Yeah,
by that.
Have Pierre help you write it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he's great.
He keeps things short.
Yeah, so like three legal pads.
With coffee spilled all over them. Uh-huh.
And then I met Baru Review.
Hang on, I want to go to some calls about weddings in this day and age. I'm going to go to Megan. Hey, Megan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, Megan?
So, well, I actually am calling from St. Pete, Florida.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Say hi to my mom.
Every morning. Thank you for getting me up.
You bet. Thank you.
So, I'm getting married in just over a month, and we had to go from 223 people to about 30 right now.
223 is a very large wedding.
It down is.
That is a massive reduction. So, as you are at this point, this close to the wedding day, with this reduction, the pros and cons for you, what are they?
Well, replanning a wedding in about 6 weeks is really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We had to find a venue because we had to cancel our big venue. So we had to find like a smaller place so we could, you know, get everything set up at. And we had to also now find vendors. So we had to find a caterer and tables and chairs for people to sit at.
Did you lose any, did you lose any deposit money?
We only lost about $500 from our big venue.
Yeah.
Because we were supposed to get married on the beach at a big resort. And since we're not doing that, we got most of that money back. But luckily we're able just to, you know, reschedule or I guess give our, like our photographer and everything,
right,
a new place to go to, a new venue.
Megan, what's the up? I mean, we know obviously there's a lot of things that are difficult, you know, but what's the upside to it?
The upside is it's going to be very simple. I wanted simple. His side was going to be like 170 of the 223.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, he comes from a big family.
Mm-hmm.
What
is he, in a marching band?
You would think.
Yeah.
But it's going to be just like people that mean the most to us. We're keeping it at just like our bridal party and, you know, immediate family.
Right.
At the end of the day, like, I get to marry him, and I'm at that point where I just want to marry him. Like,
yeah,
I want to.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, I mean, honestly, you're going to save a lot of money. And I'm sure that 12 people, the people that are going to be there are going to be people who are very important to you. And that's, I know, like, from where you're coming from with this, Preston, in retrospect, when you look back at these things, and I think people approach it in different ways. And if it's important to you to have 1,500 people, then that, I get it. For me, it seems, you know, I've always said this, I'd rather have the marriage, you know, be a success. One day. But you had a great wedding too.
We did, and it was a lot of fun. But I see the really big weddings, and I understand. I get it. I totally get it. But it is a tad bit showy. You know what I mean? So
I mean, we're going from spending almost like $35,000-$40,000, and I think our total is going to be like 12.
There you go.
That's
bingo.
Your, that's a lot of money.
Do you know how many Batman figures you can get?
All right, Megan, did you have a question for her, Kath?
No.
Megan, thanks for checking in from St. Pete. We appreciate it. And good luck with your wedding.
Have a great day.
All right, take care. All right.
But I think what you don't understand, and a lot of guys don't, is what a girl dreams of her entire childhood.
I know.
A friend of mine had to cancel her wedding, but she still wanted to get married. So she got married on her wedding day, but pushed the wedding a year later. So they're going to have the actual reception, you know, the big reception with a lot of people. And she said, I don't want, you know, 25 people all with masks on. Like, I want to have an actual...
A real deal.
Yeah, a real deal party. But then my cousin is getting married. And she was like, listen, if I can't have the party, I can't have the party. I just want to get married. So it's just what the
two different mindsets.
Yeah, two different mindsets of the couple.
Have you encountered more women recently? Or has it become to this article and to this person? And to Marissa's situation, who haven't been enamored of that massive princess type wedding thing and are opting for the more streamlined, let's make it a special, deal and then move on.
Yeah, a friend of mine, just same thing. She wanted to get married. She just got married 2 weekends ago, and they had a very small ceremony. And she said, once this is all over and we can have an actual party, maybe I'll throw something and invite people over and we'll, do a bigger party.
We did that. Personally, me, I'd rather put money towards a honeymoon, a vacation, yeah. You know what I mean, rather than the big party.
Or strippers.
Because even though that day is super duper special for the couple, it's also a little nerve wracking, we're going through all that, making sure that everything goes right. And,
and honeymoons are being canceled.
Yeah, I know.
Can you register for a honeymoon? Can you register and put that on your instead of
my friend did it.
Really?
And so that other people would pick up the cost of the honeymoon.
So instead of asking for just, checks or gifts or whatever, they said, if you're bringing a gift, feel free to put it towards our honeymoon. And there was a site specifically for it and people could.
Hell, that would make so much.
That's
more.
A win-win.
That's the way you do it.
What
do you need? Champagne, sweetheart, champagne glasses. And 9 blenders, or do you want to go to Bora Bora?
They were a little bit older. They were established. They had a home. They had everything in the home that they needed, so they didn't need all of those things. And so, yeah, they put the honeymoon on there.
I love it,
Marissa. We're going to Great Wolf Lodge.
I just heard of a wedding recently where they are requiring all the guests to take a COVID test before they come.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense.
Still mask required, still being safe,
right.
But everyone's taking a test. And then you have to sign a legal document that says you will not, do anything unsafe.
Stupid.
Between the time that you get a negative result and the wedding. Like, it's a little crazy there, too. If you're going like that, just delay the wedding.
Yeah.
It's 2020. You can do things out of order these days.
Yes, you can.
You can be walking in. You could be walking to the venue and tongue kiss someone sleeping in an alleyway.
I can't go to the wedding now.
Yeah. By the way, Marissa, regarding the officiating, this is it's a little bit opposite, but similar. It says, I did my grandmother's eulogy last week. The key is to ask the people close to the person for anecdotes. Makes it more relatable for people there rather than just your stories. Mm. So you can do a little family research.
I like that.
And get some stories.
So ask this gentleman about the deceased, and then you incorporate those into
it. Tell his grandmother's stories at the wedding. Done. I love it.
We're going to go to somebody who works in the wedding industry and has a differing opinion on the size of weddings. I'm going to go to John. Hi, John. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, man. So you work for a catering company.
I worked for 6 years for Jeffrey A. Miller Catering, which is one of the top 50 catering companies in the country.
Wow. Okay. And and your prediction for post-COVID?
I think once all this clears up, brides are going to see that all the nightmares that were, and they're going to say, you know what? I want to throw the biggest possible party I can. Because I want this to be a huge celebration of what we didn't have.
So are you is that just your perception, or are you getting that from evidence as you're talking to people?
That's the way a lot of the brides that come are talking.
All right.
That's the way they just, they're booking for October of next year, which is if everything clears up the way we're hoping it does, it's going to be monstrous.
So, John, they would prefer, like, as Kathy said with a few of her friends, when I do it, I want to do it sans masks. I want to have a real blowout. And they're saying, pull out all the stops.
Yeah, they want like palace throne room parties.
Wow.
Okay. I know you're pulling for that.
Can the industry get there?
Beyond my ability to tell you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I just know that Jeffrey Miller, we can operate, 20 events of 150 plus people at the same time.
Jesus.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's amazing. All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate it, man. Let me go to, we have a number called. Everybody's calling in. Let me see here. I have, let me go to PJ. Hi, PJ. You're on the air. Good morning. Vert the Firk.
That's what he said.
Yes, that's what he said.
That
is.
We have that.
Yeah, yes, carefully.
Swedish chef. Hey, PJ, what's up?
So I just wanted to call up and granted this all went down before COVID, but my wife and I lucked out huge. We got married last November and we were throwing around ideas of big lavish weddings and something a little bit smaller and personal. And God bless my wife. She came up with
a great idea. We, at the same time, were buying a house and ended up buying the house and throwing a huge party in our backyard. And we made it a weekend-long party, like you said, Preston, and we got married on a Friday and had a huge party in our backyard. We relied on all of our family, God bless them, to help out with the catering. I had a friend and my cousin play some live music. And then we also had a bunch of people contribute to a playlist for the music so my cousin and friend could enjoy the time. And I'll say, if you do that, it's a great idea. But keep whatever you're playing the music on under lock and key, because we had a couple guests hijack it and start just playing awful music. But right, I have to say, everybody said that the party was one of the best weddings they had been to. We had fire pits going, and really, as far as cost goes, was just the alcohol and renting tents and chairs and heaters. Okay. And we were able to put all the money we saved into our new house into renovating and painting and all sorts of things. So I would say anybody that's thinking about it, definitely consider a much smaller, more intimate
one. Okay. I that's cool, PJ. I've been to wedding receptions like that. And on a personal level, I kind of prefer that as opposed to, and listen, the big ones where, you know, you've got the band and the DJ and you play, you know, you do all the tradition and now the bride and the groom, you know, and the,
for the first time as man and wife,
and they come in and they do the little dance and all that stuff. And that's fine. I get that that's your cup of tea, but...
And here's Maury and Flo, who have been married for 30 years.
Yes.
Lick his taint.
Yeah, lick his taint. What is the secret to the longevity of your relationship, sweetheart?
I lick his taint.
That actually happened at a wedding.
Sure did. We were all
although
there.
Not on the microphone. It was Steve.
Dr. Bill's wedding. It was off mic.
Whose wedding was it?
Dr. Bill.
Yeah, John,
oh, Dr. Bill.
Yeah. John and Dr. Bill.
Uh-huh. Aren't they lucky?
Yeah, they are. I was going to say, and he mentioned about alcohol, if you are looking to save some dollars when having a wedding, if you are able, and you're going to have like a party or whatever, if you're able to buy your own alcohol, it can save you a ton. And like you want to serve an open bar or whatever.
Make your own alcohol.
Get a bathtub. Dandelion wine, you know.
There's a little formaldehyde in that, so go easy.
It's okay, though. It's okay. Just don't smoke around it.
You talk about the non-traditional weddings. The best wedding, I think, one of the best ones that I've ever been to was on a cruise in the Hudson River. And it was in the evening when the sun was setting. And, I mean, it was absolutely beautiful. It was, they did like a quick, I mean, I think their ceremony was maybe 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it was just, they weren't, she had a beautiful white dress on. He had, you know, was very casual. There was no dress code for anybody. You could wear jeans, you could wear a suit, you wanted. And when I even texted him, asked him, like, hey, like, what's the dress code? What are we doing here? He goes, whatever you want. He goes, if you want to wear a bathing suit and jump in, go right ahead. Like, it just was whatever anybody wanted. He said, I want people to be comfortable and I want them to have fun. And that's what we did.
One of my favorites was one of my best friends, Ben, got married. It was a destination wedding. It was in Bahamas.
Yeah.
And it was like that, Kathy. It was like a 3-minute ceremony. They had a violinist there, which was very romantic. It was in the Bahamas. It was outside.
Charlie Daniels.
There was maybe 10 people. That's it. And but it was like a weekend. You know, we stayed at the resort and it was an all inclusive.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was a great time.
How cool.
I got divorced last year, by the way. Just
letting you know.
So it means something. I did, as I said, Puerto Rico. We did, again, it was the a weekend. It was 10 people came down, you know, family members, and then came back here and then threw a party for the rest of the people. And it was very casual. Got a catering, you know, facility to provide the room and everything. And it was as relaxed as could be, and everyone raved about it.
I don't care how close I am to you. If you're having a destination wedding, I'll come. It's really? Fine. Just invite me. I'll be there. No problem.
Except if it's Africa.
Right.
Well, it didn't happen. That wedding didn't happen. Thank God I didn't book that.
Yeah, there's lions over there, man. Let me go to Megan B. Yo, Megan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, what's up, Megan?
Love you guys.
Thank you. That's awesome. We appreciate it.
So I got married in June, and I had a micro wedding planned all along. So we were only going to have 18 guests. We got married at this beautiful venue in the Poconos, and it's actually on this woman's property, so she only allows 18 guests, so 20 including the couple. But then COVID happened, so we had these plans originally. I was just never into wedding planning in general. Like, I actually never thought I was going to get married, so I didn't have a vision when I was a kid or anything like that.
Right.
And our parents were pretty receptive, which was great, and we're paying for the wedding ourselves, too. So then COVID happened, and it couldn't have worked out more in our favor, so we did have to scale the guest list back to 12 people, but a couple people couldn't fly in, but we got married. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was outside. We're outdoorsy people, so it overlooks the Appalachian Trail.
And, oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, the photos were gorgeous. And, Casey, we walked out of the aisle to Tweezer Reprise.
Oh, I love you.
That's excellent. Yeah. Fish song.
But it was fantastic, and we saved a lot of money. We still rent. We want to buy a house. And it was pretty perfect.
So, so this woman, this is her one of her little cottage industries, is that she offers her home or her estate or whatever it is for weddings.
It's called Promise Ridge, yeah, and you can look it up on Instagram. It's absolutely gorgeous. So she does micro weddings and elopements.
Wow!
And she is the officiant, and she's absolutely wonderful. Oh, yeah, I definitely recommend it.
That's okay. Awesome.
All right, thanks, Megan. We appreciate it. This is the song. By the way, a texter reminded me. How do you turn this down?
No, just keep it.
A texter reminded me the absolute cheapest way to have a wedding, period. Have your favorite radio show invite you into a parking lot.
Yeah.
And you don't pay a dime for that.
That
you
was so what? Cool.
I think that was awesome. Probably the most fun wedding I've ever attended.
That was amazing.
Our mass wedding, we did it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
2.5 years ago, or however long ago. And that was so much fun.
And you know what we had?
We had more mascots than any other wedding.
We also had a good band.
Yeah, we had a great band.
That's why you had the most fun.
Kathy's right. Once it started happening.
Oh, my God. That was so... I mean, if you stop and think about how cool that was...
Who was the band that morning? Was it Drop Dead Sexy?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
If it was, I don't even know. Was it?
Well, hold on. The video's up as soon as we see it.
Yeah.
You'll know, Casey.
So, yeah, that was, we did a mass wedding. I think we had like 60 couples or something like that. And
I remember like in the planning process and I was like, you guys were so excited. And I'm like, yeah, like this is cool. But then when it happened, I was like, this is so fun.
Yeah. I believe that's Drop Dead Sexy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was wearing my Tweezer t-shirt, by the way.
You were?
Yes, I was.
Well, that's awesome. let me...
This just in.
What?
The recollection this morning. Casey Foss remembered wearing his Tweezer t-shirt.
The chick who just called in.
She mentioned that mentioned song.
The chick had just called in.
Let me go to, hang on, we have so many calls here, and we're gonna have to take a break in just a second, but let me go to Rich, who is actively planning a wedding right now amongst all this. Hi, Rich, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, so I'm actively in the process of planning a wedding, and we went to 5 different venues around the Philly area, and so many people had to cancel their main events, but they're throwing what they're calling these sparkles. So instead of having, like, this full-blown, you know, 150 guests, they're having, like, 20 people on their pre-planned date, but then rescheduling a full-blown event next year. So getting a date for our wedding took some searching, and we managed to find something all the way into next year in October, and it was the last date for this venue. But go ahead.
I would imagine, Rich, that we've had sort of that landslide effect, that securing a date, I mean, just by sheer volume, you're going to have to, if you really want to go for something a little bit larger, you're going to have to be much more into next year to get any date, correct?
Absolutely. For the venues and even for, like, our florist and the DJ.
Right.
You know, we were calling, you know, we're well over a year out, and they're all, like, saying, wow, you guys got us. Like, this is one of the last days that I have available. And so it's been kind of crazy actually planning a wedding now because it's so hard to find, you know, find what you're looking for, find someone that's available.
What's the sparkle thing that you mentioned? What is that?
Like a smaller wedding.
Yeah, exactly. So it's instead of people, you know, since they're, you know, a lot of people aren't comfortable with being in these large kind of events.
Right.
Some of the venues even have restricted the number of guests that they're allowed to have, like some of the other callers have said, you know, so
sparkle.
People are throwing.
Like,
sparkle, very, sparkle.
We have that.
And on the subject of prices for things, too, I mean, I know somebody else said something about, you know, people trying to have smaller, you know, smaller events and stuff. But like the florist that we booked the week before we actually booked her, she did a wedding for somebody that spent like $50,000 on just
Yeah, man, by the time your affair takes place, you might have centerpieces made of ragweed.
Right.
We got these.
That'll be a hell of a sparkle.
Sparkle, sparkle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have a sparkle in my mom's unfinished basement.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Rich, good luck with everything, man. Thanks. We appreciate it. Yep.
A friend of mine owns a wedding venue, and she actually put together this big outside area in the parking lot because you're allowed to have more people if you're outside than indoors, just so she could continue to have these weddings for people because she was having to cancel. And, you know, she felt so bad. She didn't want to cancel. And obviously it's her business. She doesn't want to cancel.
Right.
But yeah, so now they're doing them outside.
Think about all the rolling things that take place, how one thing affects another thing. So right now we're having sort of prematurely autumnal temperatures. All the restaurants that have, you know, that have been relying on this outdoor heating are like, what the F? Weddings that have been scheduled that are taking place under tents outside. And now, mind you, it's not brutally cold, but it does affect, you know, all of that.
So, by the way, they're saying the reason we got started on this is some professionals in the industry, in the wedding industry, think that that they may change the overall. That doesn't mean the big weddings aren't going to exist any longer, but people might trend towards smaller ceremonies, spending less money,
more options
in the future after the pandemic is over, just because they're seeing that it can be done and it's still great.
So, sparkle, sparkle.
Sparkle, sparkle. Exactly. If you want to have a sparkle.
Sparkle, sparkle.
Nick is for hire.
Yeah.
By the way, what is this, Casey?
Marissa just wrote us a nice little note.
Oh, it says, congratulations, you made it through a whole break without writing anything on the error list.
Oh,
yay!
Yay!
One breakdown.
Did she spell writing? Did she
with
spell
two
that
T's.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, so. It's okay. So, but if you want to help Marissa out with some suggestions on what she should do for officiating, should they, like...
Yeah, just shoot me an email, marissa@wmr.com. Okay. Like, anyone who's done one of these, or brides and grooms, tell me something you wish your officiant did. I need all the advice I can get.
I'll write your ceremony if you want.
Oh, that'd be
great.
Funny.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. The Bizarre File is on the way next. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve Show Podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, let's do it.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. We'll start with this little gem. A Florida woman stole a sex toy and took off all her clothes and started using it while she was right there in the store.
Well, what if you find out at home you don't like it?
Yeah.
Then you have to return it.
Yeah. So records show employees at the store called police to report that 36-year-old Teresa Stanley had stolen a pink sex toy from a shelf, removed it from the packaging, took off her pants, and began using it.
I'm sorry, when you go into Baskin-Robbins, they let you sample the flavors.
Yeah. Police said that by the time they arrived, Stanley was completely nude and had moved to the stockroom area. Continue to using the item. She stopped using the item and dropped it to the ground when an officer walked in the room. Records show the value of the stolen item was $54.98. She was arrested on charge of indecent exposure and larceny and shoplifting. The incident happened at the Lion's Den. Police say Stanley appeared to be slightly intoxicated.
Did you see her mugshot?
I did.
Oh, boy.
That's a girl?
That's a girl, yeah. She told officers that she had about 6 beers since that morning.
Could this be the new riff on Cinderella, Preston? Whose dildo is this?
I love it. A video of an unexpected funeral celebration is making waves online. In the video, a group can be seen surrounding an outdoor casket. The wooden coffin is propped up on 2 motorcycles and wrapped in some kind of plastic. The short clip shows a woman dressed in a black shirt and jeans twerking on top of the raised casket.
That's beautiful.
Over the course of just over 20 seconds, a woman grinds, gyrates in front of a celebratory crowd as well. Twice, she leans forward to plant a kiss on the glass covering between she and her loved one. The original poster even shared a link to the admittedly catchy song Ella Quiere by DJ Yayo. And it was captioned the tweet, "If yo girl don't do this at yo funeral, is she really yo girl?"
That's a good question. And yeah, well poised.
One for the ages. People in the comments were split in their reactions to the video because she's up, I mean, like, humping the casket.
Right, right.
Several people noted the genuine distress visible on the woman's face and applauded her for sending her loved one out in style. Others found the entire affair disrespectful and criticized the funeral attendees for appearing to celebrate the dance.
So, when my mother passed away, I did the Watusi on her coffin.
On the Watusi?
Yeah.
She loved that dance.
She loved it. It was her favorite dance.
Police say that they arrested the man Wednesday night after he jumped his vehicle across a drawbridge that was rising in Detroit.
Wow.
The operator of the bridge witnessed the man drive his car across the bridge and says the driver blew out all four tires and crashed into a gate after completing the jump.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens, actually.
It does.
TV yes. lies to you.
The operator hit the emergency stop on the bridge as it was rising because when he had realized the driver of the vehicle wasn't stopping. The driver is a 26-year-old man who was driving a Dodge sedan, which, by the way, is what the Blues Brothers drove and jumped over the bridge in the movie. Shortly after crashing the vehicle, the driver was arrested. This is a bizarre moment. A COVID-conscious senior mistook a slushy machine for a hand sanitizer at a gas station. This took place in England, I believe. Footage shared online shows the elderly shopper strolling into a service station after filling up on Tuesday, wearing a face mask. He stopped in the doorway and has a good look around for the hand sanitizer. He quickly spots two clear containers with blue and red liquid next to the door. Beside a stack of birthday cards, he squeezes the handle and begins rubbing his hands with ice-cold raspberry slush.
Man, this hand sanitizer's cold.
Yeah, and sticky, too. Yeah. So no follow-up on that story, but that was caught on camera. Here's another story out of the UK. A guy turned to his disabled neighbor... he turned on his disabled neighbor by branding her a fat bastard and then shoving a hamburger through her mailbox,
well, that's
her mail
just,
slot.
No.
Alan Harvey flew into rage at Elizabeth Britton after she told him to, quote, get a grip following a disturbance at their flats in Glasgow. So it's in Scotland. The frightened 63-year-old quickly tried to close the door on Harvey, but the prosecutor, Mark Allen, in court said... he began shouting and swearing at her. He called her a fat bastard.
You're a fat bastard.
And other derogatory comments. He then shoved a hamburger through her letterbox.
That's actually pretty good, I mean, especially if you're hungry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'd take being called a fat bastard if it means a free burger.
What about the fries?
He went on to call his neighbor handicapped. Harvey was later stopped by a concierge at the apartments.
And you're handicapped and... I run out of things.
He apparently had a 4-inch knife on him, and I guess that's illegal. When police then turned up, he was also clutching two metal poles. Harvey, I don't know, man.
He had a burger and two metal poles.
Yeah, and a knife.
Yeah.
Harvey pled guilty to acting in a threatening and abusive manner.
Oh, man.
One last story. More than 3,300 Northwestern Energy customers in Aberdeen were without power for about an hour on Wednesday. The culprit... a bird had dropped a 3-foot-long garter snake into a substation.
Oh, man. That's wild.
That was shortly before 1:45 p.m. Crews responded and restored the power quickly. The snake lived, by the way, but it was...
And now has superpowers.
I guess so. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, we are going to take a quick break. Come back in a moment. Don't forget, if you missed it yesterday, Kathy's Fall Activities, the list is up and available for you at WMMR.com if you want to check that out. And also a flash sale in the Rock Shop of Kathy's new My Fall Activities t-shirt that you can wear while you're out doing those activities. By the way, the Fall Activities brought to you by Acme Markets, fresh foods and local flavors. And don't forget, too, the Preston and Steve shower beer holder with a built-in Bluetooth speaker is on sale as well.
It's honestly a really good piece of equipment.
How about a Christmas gift? You could start your shopping early, way early, but why not? If you got a President Steve fan, let him have a beer in the shower with this. It'd make a great gift. We're going to take a break and be right back. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest has an event coming up. He's hosting a trivia for a cause in support of Generation Citizen, and it is on Sunday, and we'll take any excuse to talk to him anytime. We love him to death. And Casey was like, should I play the double air theme or a summer song? I was like, let's do a summer song this time around.
I have something that's perfect to play.
Okay.
Shut the f*** up!
That's good, too.
Yeah.
But I want to see what song Casey picked this summer, because I said just to play a summer song, so let's see what we get.
Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing hills of jasmine in my mind.
Mark Summer Breeze is on the line. Good morning, yay. Mark Summers.
Don't give up the day job.
Never. How are you, man?
You know, like everybody else, just hanging in. You know, I have nothing to say because I haven't done a damn thing in 6 months. I mean, I've gotten organized and put things in files and, like everybody else, gotten, you know, our place cleaned up. But beyond that, I mean, watching too much television, a lot of Netflix, and what can I tell you, my friend? How about you guys?
Well,
how's Philly?
Yeah, but, you know, it is what it is. We've still been working, so
yeah.
Life is kind of somewhat normal for us. But listen, one of the things you didn't mention that you've been up to, and I do like checking out, is you post some really cool pictures on Instagram of you and the celebrities that you've spent time with over the years. And I think a recent one was you and Jerry Lewis together. So you have a nice catalog of rubbing elbows with some famous people.
You know, when I started doing warm-ups 100 years ago on a show called Our Magazine with Jerry Collins, I was never shy and always went up to people and had conversations. And Jerry at the time was somebody I admired and met him first at that point. And then down the road, I don't know if I've told this story on the show or not, we became somewhat, I'm not going to say close friends. I'm not sure Jerry had a lot of close friends in any way, shape, or form, but we interacted a lot. And it's the old story of you don't want to meet your idols. Because in all probability, you're going to be disappointed. And I have this, you know, unfortunately too long a story, but he was a very talented guy, but he was out of his freaking mind.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Just loved to screw with people. And he would lead you down a path where you thought, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe I'm friends with Jerry Lewis. And then he'd turn on you. And so I talked to several people throughout the years who had a very similar situation where he would, you know, sort of suck you in when you told him, you know, I grew up watching you, and then all of a sudden things took a turn for the South. And I guess the craziest story was he called me to be on the telethon one year. And so when I got to the studio, I was told by Ken Stein, who was the stage manager, Jerry doesn't want to see you. What he wants you to do is he'll introduce you. You go down and hit your mark, say your material that's on the teleprompter, and go to your left. Don't look at him. Don't make eye contact with him, whatever you do. And I said, fine. You know, I'm here for the kids, and I'm happy to do it. So he goes, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Summers. I walk out. There's piano music behind me. I read my stuff, and I start to go, you know, stage left. And that thing was live. And so all I hear as I'm making the stage left exit was, hey, Mark, come here. And it's like I was told not to look at him, not to talk at him. And Kenny's motioning, Mark, come over here, come over here. And he's going, hey, Mark, I said, come here. And all of a sudden, Kenny's pushing me to go back in the other direction. And, you know, he did one of these, put his arm around me and said, you know, I don't think you guys know who this man is. He does so many wonderful shows for families and kids, and you didn't give him enough of a reception. And, you know, and so he's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and that's just, you know, one of the small crazy stories. But it was live TV, and what do you do if you're told don't look at Jerry and don't talk to Jerry?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I've heard countless. I'm a huge Jerry Lewis fan, and there are just tons of stories like that, and he could be the nicest guy and obviously devoted his life to the MDA telethon and all that stuff. But there was a great book written about Martin and Lewis called Everybody Loves Somebody Sometime, Especially Themselves.
Wow. I love it.
Oh, my. Yeah, yeah. Interesting stuff. Yeah, and I pulled out some pictures of stuff I did with Dick Van Dyke recently. And, you know, it's fun to go down memory lane. I have this storage unit that I've had for over 25 years, but I haven't been in it in years. And so with not much to do, I drove over there and started looking in boxes and finding, you know, a lot of Double Dare merchandise. I didn't even remember we had Double Dare sheets and yo-yos and handheld video games.
Of course. Are you kidding me? A show that was geared towards that audience must have had tons of merch.
Oh, my God. We had over 50 items. And so and then I opened up this one package, and it was a bunch of green slime shampoo packets, you know. So it's just fun. It's interesting. Now, of course, I post it on Instagram and Facebook, and now everybody wants to buy this stuff. So I got to figure out what the heck I want to do.
I think I had that green slime shampoo.
Yeah, it smelled like bubble gum, as I remember. Yeah. And, you know, this stuff has been sitting in a hot warehouse for 34 years.
Hey, that can only help.
It really is green slime now, I have a feeling.
I saw a story recently. I forgot who. It was a celebrity. It might have been Will Smith or something like that, who had said, and it was at Nickelodeon and at the Kids' Choice Awards or whatever it may be, and, you know, people get slimed, that he had said that the slime tastes, because some of it gets in your mouth, that it tastes sweet, that it almost has like a pineapple-like flavor to it. And I know that the secret of slime, they've been very protective of the secret of slime.
Well, they have. Back in the day when we were doing it in Philadelphia, it was applesauce, green food coloring, vanilla pudding, and that's kind of what it was.
That's a hell of a dessert.
That's a dessert.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
A little sponge cake and you're in heaven.
Well, now, when we shot the new Double Dare episodes, they have a company that just makes slime for them.
Yeah.
And they literally came over and gave us, if you're ready for this, 6 viscosities. It could be thin, it could be thick, it could be somewhere in the middle. And because it does sometimes get in the kids' mouths, it has to have a particular flavor to it. But I never tried this new one. I knew what was in the other stuff, but this stuff kind of creeped me out, so I never actually tasted it. But I heard of it. Had a good flavor. Who knows?
Yeah. Mark, speaking of memory lane, you recently posted on Twitter your favorite TV show or one of your favorite TV show of the 80s was You Can't Do That on Television, which for me and for Casey especially was our childhood. It was that and then Double Dare on Nickelodeon. What were your memories of that show?
Well, you know, at the time, Nickelodeon really didn't have any hits. And you can't, you know, people go and they say, well, Double Dare was the one that put Nickelodeon on the map. And I guess that's true. But the first show on Nick that really had a following was You Can't. And it all was because of the situation where if you said, I don't know, you got slime. That's where slime started on
Nickelodeon.
Right, And back in the day when they started doing that, they used to pay the kids literally like $5 extra if they were allowed to get slimed. And they really did take foul stuff that was sitting in a cafeteria and made the slime. And the kids, you know, who were part of that, who were now like 40 years old, will tell you that sometimes it was like going to a garbage pit. It was so rank, but they figured, well, for the extra $5, what the hell, I'll take it, you know, kind of situation. But, you know, that was sort of a sketch Saturday Night Live show with kids, which didn't exist back then.
They were sort of building it from the ground up. And I remember it being very, you know, engaging and the effort was clear that they were putting into it. I'm curious if you're familiar with the Netflix show, The Floor is Lava.
I am aware of it. I have not seen it. Tell me about it.
Well, it definitely owes its heritage to what you guys were doing, Double Dare-wise and all of that stuff. Basically, it's that old game where the floor is lava, and we had the producer, the showrunners from this area.
Yeah, she's from Boyertown.
Yeah, and so she's... They came up with a show and sold it, and it was huge on Netflix. But the set, Mark, would remind you of your time with Nickelodeon.
It's more of like an obstacle course, like the end of Double Dare. And they do have a time limit. It's a little bit longer than the Double Dare contest. But
and if you fall off of the objects, you disappear into
lava.
What appears to be an endless flow of lava. It's actually pretty damn funny and inventive.
so many of these shows are tributes to what we did, and I'll tell you why. Because these people were 8 years old when Double Dare came on, and now they're in their 30s and 40s.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's sort of an homage to what it is we did. I mean, I think the biggest ripoff has been Ellen's, you know, thing, because basically she just took the physical challenges and turned it into a show. But the problem is it's very mean, and, you know, when she's laughing at somebody's pain, I find that in Host School 101 not to be the proper thing to do. And yet it does great on the ratings, so what can I tell you?
What the hell do I know?
All right, so what you can tell us is what you're doing, the trivia for a cause, support of Generation Citizen. What's going on Sunday?
So there are six people in Philly. You know, I always tell you, everybody's got my phone number and everybody's got my email address. So these guys contacted me and said, you know, we're six people from Philly, and during COVID, we decided to spread trivia instead of COVID. And they've done, I think, five events so far. And what they do is sort of emulate various games. They did Trivial Pursuit. They did Jeopardy. And this week, it's Double Dare. And so if you go to triviaforacause.com, you have to register, and then we'll be doing it on Zoom and raising money. They've done five different charities in the Philly area, and this is another one. So you can go to the website, triviaforacause.com. You can register, learn all about the guys and girls who put it together, and, you know, we'll have some fun, ask some questions, and raise some money for some people. And, you know, the people in Philly still the nicest humans in the world. Tell me about downtown Philly. How's it doing now? Are the restaurants open? What's going on?
They're limited. They've upped it, you know, and honestly, as you well know, the restaurant industry and the service industry has just been decimated in many areas by this. And you're starting to see signs of life, which is good. Marissa's the one to really ask, because she's down there all the time. But for the most part, we're still creeping ahead.
You know, I heard they put tables like practically in the street.
Yes.
You know, I talked to my friends in New York. They're in the bike lanes. They're everywhere. But the sad part is, you know, winter's around the corner, and then what happens?
Yeah, exactly. So they're saying, I mean, really, really sobering numbers of restaurants that are going to go away and never come back. So, you know, hopefully we can get to something that works and get these people back to work. I wanted to ask you, Mark, you were just in the earlier part of the conversation. You obviously, you know, Preston and I were at the event. We introduced the documentary about your life. But there's a whole other aspect as you're going through these memories. You know, is it possible that you could do another shorter riff with footage of your, you know, just your focusing in on the entertainment part of your life with all the encounters that you've had that might be worth putting together?
Well, it's interesting, you know, since, you know, all Netflix and networks like that are going through content like crazy, I've been contacted about the documentary, and so maybe we'll finally get that thing up and running. But, yeah, since I started posting this stuff, people are saying, you know, we should shoot this and watch you go down memory lane. So I don't know. You know, here's the thing. You guys remember that I was always on an airplane in a hotel in a different city for the last 35, 36 years.
Yeah.
And I never thought I could stop. But since I've been forced, like all of us, to just sort of quarantine in my own place, I don't think I ever want to work again as long as I live.
Is that right? So you are someone I would have said, no, you cannot stop this guy, but you've fallen in love with the more sedentary lifestyle?
I really have. You know, I take a 5-mile walk every day, and sometimes I listen to podcasts, and sometimes I listen to music, sometimes I talk to friends, sometimes I just sort of commune with nature, and it's one of my favorite parts of the day. And, you know, this sort of hanging out and doing nothing thing, look, I'll be 69 in November. You know, how much longer can I run around and be a crazy man? And so I'm actually, you know, the thing I miss the most, obviously, is traveling. I haven't been to Philly in 6 months. I wanted to go to Europe this summer. You know, I don't think we're going there for another 2 years, probably because of what's going on. So I've had to learn, like all of us, is to sort of change my life. And my blood pressure is the lowest it's ever been in my entire life.
Wow.
And I'm sort of enjoying this time. You know, the best part for me with a guy with OCD, nobody can come in my house, so I'm in heaven.
It's just wonderful.
But
you can continue to do your snuff films from the basement, correct?
Well, I can always count on you. But if you know anything about California, we don't have basements, so I have to, you know, put one of those little shacks in the back.
Right, understood.
Well, yeah. Speaking of California and the current situation, what's the story like with the fires and everything? And I mean, you obviously have been up close and personal. Yeah. Where are they juxtaposed to you right now?
Well, I'm in Santa Barbara, so south of us, just south of Los Angeles, there's some bad fires in an area called Palmdale, which is also being hit. But north of us in Big Sur, it's about 200 miles north. That smoke has been crazy. I mean, the sunrises and the sunsets have been insane. I think I posted some on social media. But the air here, when you wake up, it's gray. It's Armageddon-ish. And I've been told over the last 4 or 5 days, which sadly I wasn't able to go out and walk because the air quality is just horrendous. I mean, you can taste particles in the air.
Oh, boy.
And, it's not good. What can I tell you? It's just horrible. And the world is coming to an end. You know?
Yeah, but you met Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming to an end.
Complaining.
It's sad to me, but it's Earth telling us to, you know, calm the F down and, you know, look at what we've done. And maybe we need to slow life down in general for all of us. And let's not even talk about what's happening November 3rd. That'll send me off on a whole other tangent. But, what can I say? You know, we're all in it together, and let's keep our fingers crossed. And everybody vote, and vote for the right person, whoever you think that might be, you know?
Good advice. All right, my man. We'll point people in the direction of this event, which is on Saturday. And we actually have a link to it on WMMR.com if you would like to support Generation Citizen. So always great to catch up, Mark. We're happy you're doing well, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
You guys be well. Thanks so much for the call.
Anytime. Mark Summers,
guys. Yeah.
Oh, this is Summer in the City?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
Summer in the City. Back of hot town. Summer in the City. Back of my neck and dirty and gritty.
Don't know the words.
We have a couple of minutes to play around with, we were talking about Mark and his social media posts, and there were two notable, there's always some notable MMR staff members posts on social media. One of them yesterday was Jackson.
Oh, my God.
And his chiseled self for this Philadoptibles
calendar. Oh, did you do the calendar? Yeah.
It's like no fair.
And you know what? I thought so too when I looked at it.
He
and I'm
works
like, you know
so
what?
Hard.
But hang on.
Okay.
I said to myself, you know, if I looked that like that, you're goddamn right I would be posting a picture
totally.
Of myself. So
calendar,
I was only mad
yeah.
for a split second.
I
did post on there, I said, since I single-handedly reignited his interest in martial arts, that I take full responsibility for his
chiseled
physique.
That you get to sleep with him first?
I get to have him first.
You know, we have had a few people here in the Philadoptibles calendar. Like
Glenn
yes, was also in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
I look at Jackson differently now. I was like, hey.
Oh, didn't know that was under there,
Jackson?
Did you? Jackson is L-ripped big time. He owns a freaking jiu-jitsu studio, so he's in great shape.
Look at that comment at the bottom, though.
It says, kudos to the airbrush artist. No, that's him, man. That's Jackson. So that was the other one. And then the other notable post was from the voice you just heard, Chuck D'Amico, assistant
Good morning, everybody.
Of WMMR, the guy who puts together the back to school A to Z.
Yeah, I invented the alphabet.
He did. But he posted something that I had to comment on social media yesterday, and I'll read it verbatim. It says, I try not to get too political, and you can unfriend me if you want to, but plain M&Ms are way better than these stupid things, meaning the peanut M&Ms.
This guy.
You're out of your mind.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you're
no.
out of your mind.
Chuck, I'm with you on that.
What?
I
appreciate that.
I don't hate peanut M&Ms, but regular M&Ms are way better.
I'm with you. Absolutely.
Dude, so regular M&Ms are like...
They're
like 10th on the list of M&Ms.
No, there's only two M&Ms. Everything else is a waste of time. But it's really, listen, this is really second level candy thinking, okay? Because the concept of peanuts and chocolate together is brilliant.
Yeah
it's a tale as old as time. It's perfect. The problem with peanut M&Ms, it's really a scientific issue. It's the ratio is really bad.
I'm with you. It's too much
the
peanut.
The peanut to chocolate ratio is terrible.
So peanuts are too big?
I love peanut M&Ms. I love peanut M&Ms, and I love them equally to the regular M&Ms. I think the new addition to the M&M realm that is actually quite viable has been the brownie M&Ms. Mm. Have you tried those?
I have not tried the brownie. No. But the other issue is they're very inconsistent. Sometimes the peanuts are big. Sometimes the peanuts are small. You don't know what you're going to get, man.
Well, that's the beauty of it all.
Nah, I hate
but
that.
The layer of chocolate on that is just way too
I'm
thin.
With you completely.
I want to touch on what Steven said, the brownie M&Ms. I have not had those yet, but I see those other flavors outside of peanut and regular M&Ms as novelties.
I think
they're ephemeral, and I think they are just... They're not here. They're not long for this world.
Well, yes. No.
Caramel ones.
Right. Caramel ones are here to stay, bros.
I'd rather go with a straight up caramel candy.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
but
it's like here's to get one time.
Here's what's M&M's are here to stay. Caramel, peanut butter, pretzel, the crisp. And then there are mint ones as well.
You just named all the M&Ms.
Yeah, those are all here to stay.
And they're all here to stay, dudes. By the way, if you don't like the peanut to M&M ratio, you should do what my family has been doing for as long as I can remember. And we used to do this for parties all the time. Mm-hmm. You get the plain M&Ms and you buy peanuts and you put them in a bowl together then you're good to go.
My wife did that. We had a giant bowl of them at the house. She mixed them.
I'm surprised you're still with her.
I was separating them for a week. I put my hand in there. I got to look at them all. I can't just eat them. I got to take the peanut ones out.
Because I understand your ratio. It's a lot of work here. Man. Two M&Ms per peanut is a perfect ratio.
Well, wait a second. When we are talking about the M&Ms, are we talking about the almond? I love the almond M&Ms.
We're talking about peanut.
Okay, yeah.
Different nut.
I do love the almond M&Ms.
So I see, when I see regular M&Ms, sure, they're tasty. They're fine. But to me, the peanut M&Ms are more like a meal.
that's like lunch.
You're getting
protein.
You're getting more sustenance. You could invite
friends over for a meal.
Right.
What's for dinner tonight?
Right. I'm with Casey. If I'm going to buy and if I'm going to fly, I'm almost always, if I'm going to get a candy, I'm almost always going to purchase peanut M&Ms.
Same.
Wonder Twin Powers.
Oh, air high five.
It's my automatic go-to for if I'm going to go to see a movie. I buy the peanut M&Ms. You can F off with the fun size because that's not fun at all. I need a family size.
Oh, have you seen how the new flavors, like the brownie, the bags that they come into?
Yeah,
it's a big joke. It's hilarious, and it's adorable that this is supposed to be a sharing size.
Yeah. We have a friend named Jim. He brought in a carton of M&Ms for us maybe a year or two ago. Do you guys remember those?
I do.
They were plain M&Ms.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you get?
I've never been so fat in my life. Seriously, I gained a ton of weight, and there's a picture of it. But no, the other mixture in that was there were the dark chocolate M&Ms mixed in there.
Dark,
and they look just like the regular M&Ms, and that's BS, man.
So you don't like dark chocolate M&Ms?
No.
Oh, my God. That is exactly what I like.
Chuck doesn't like fruit.
I know.
Ooh, wait a second.
They make fruit M&Ms?
Dark chocolate peanut M&Ms, dark chocolate almond M&Ms.
They have mint dark chocolate M&Ms?
Yeah. See, there's a liability. There's
mega
an issue.
Peanut. I'm sorry.
There's an issue with mint.
What?
Sometimes when they're doing the mint flavor, it can be chemical tasting. And to get that minty flavor.
Well, you can't eat a bag of that. You eat three of them, and then
I agree. Then it's good. Like when you have after eight dinner mints.
Steve, I used to eat the whole package of those things.
Did you?
Those little individual foils. There'd be a mess all
I've
over
I've only
my
had
bed.
70. They're so wafer thin.
Now, wait a minute. I am seeing all kinds of flavors here. We're scrolling through these that I've never seen before. Mega peanut?
Hey, what's that mean?
Hell yes.
No.
Does that mean bigger peanuts or more chocolate?
Probably means bigger peanuts, but I
bigger nuts in your mouth.
Coffee nut? I don't know that one. Scroll through. And, Steve, I've never seen the brownie ones. Dark chocolate, minis?
Minis.
Yeah, that's a waste.
Almond. Keep scrolling.
Those are fun for, if you're decorating cookies.
They're not fun.
No.
Crispy.
Crispy's good, man. That it's like individual Nestle's.
They're good.
It's like air in there.
No. Well, it's actually like Nestle's. It's like little round Nestle's
bars.
It's
a texture thing.
Yeah.
Pretzel, peanut butter.
Scroll, pretzels are good.
Scroll, please.
Pretzels are good. Peanut butter. My ex-girlfriend, that was like their go-to. They always had peanut butter M&Ms in their little candy jar.
That's the end, Preston.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't see brownie. That must be brand new, Steve.
It's fairly new.
White chocolate?
No.
What? Oh,
yeah. No, white chocolate. Okay. That's so dumb.
Not even chocolate.
Not even chocolate. Come out with a different word for it, like puke or something.
Snack mix peanut and snack mix milk. Chocolate. Okay, so and now we're back to the beginning.
I find white chocolate to be far too sweet.
There's something you can't eat a lot.
No,
or at least I don't eat a lot of white chocolate.
What Target has the fudge brownie M&M.
Okay,
They're actually you can find them at CVS or wherever other contraceptives are sold.
I gotta sample those.
Yeah,
What
I feel bad for you, Chuck. Peanut M&Ms. I think they're like my favorite candy
overall. Well, they rank them number one.
You can have mine then.
Do you like do you like Mounds bars?
No.
Because I like Almond Joy. I like the Almond Joys. I like regular Mounds, but I love Almond Joys.
Yeah. There aren't many
sometimes
candies.
You feel like a nut and sometimes you don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think there are many peanut-based candies that I would eat, I don't think. But I do like peanuts.
But
and I like peanut butter. Oh, and I love Reese's Cups.
Wait a second. See,
the original Reese's Cups, they went and messed with those, too. Like,
yeah, they did.
Like, the little unwrapped ones. There's not enough peanut butter. It's a ratio thing.
It's too much chocolate.
It is.
If you want to get, hands down, the best consistency as far as peanut butter cups are concerned,
right?
You got to get the king-size packages. For some reason, they're the, like...
Oh, with the four in them?
Yeah.
Dude, I ate three of them. Yeah.
So now, like, the peanut butter eggs, which you get around Easter...
Yeah.
That has too much peanut butter.
It's a little too much peanut butter.
The chocolate
is thin. The chocolate
it's
is
like,
thin around
they're
the edges.
They're like insulin eggs.
They're perfect.
See, back to the politics thing. You have to trust the scientists. The ratio in the peanut M&M is off.
Yeah.
And the inconsistency with the size of the nuts, you can't trust them, man.
Science is always evolving, and different theories are proven correct. But, and you have to realize that there was, the nut-to-ratio level is exactly correct now.
Chuck,
there have been failures in the past, but they're right now. Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, you'll get the tiny peanut with enough chocolate around
it.
But then you're like, oh, okay, right, I had peanut M&M.
Yeah. Sometimes the ratio's off. All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I also want to say something to our British listeners right now. Shut up with your chocolate is better than our chocolate. Shut up. Your chocolate sucks. British chocolate. I have a friend who's from Manchester. She can't stand American chocolate.
Oh.
Just can't stand it.
No, a lot of Brits don't like American chocolate. It does taste different. Theirs is a little bit more rich, I think, and therefore they've gotten... Listen, it's whatever you've gotten.
It's not Swiss chocolate, which
you've grown up with.
Yeah,
a game changer.
I think we can all agree because that's... It's from Switzerland.
Yeah.
I think we learned two things.
Right.
I'm right about the peanut.
Nope.
M&Ms.
No, I didn't learn that.
There's no way Jackson eats chocolate. There's just no way.
Yeah.
The way he's looking in that calendar.
This is true.
I wanted to bust on him in that calendar, but he looks so good. I'm just like, I'm looking good, dude.
You can't.
Yeah.
Somebody texted in, Casey Dunkaroos are back.
What?
I don't care.
Oh, okay.
You know what needs to come back are Jell-O pudding pops. Those need to come back.
Yeah. Oh, like the frozen ones?
Yes.
Yes. They're good.
I thought they were overrated.
No.
I liked regular Fudgesicles.
Okay, listen, that's fine.
It's personal preference.
I know, but that's different. Like, one is, like, ice cream, and the other one is pudding.
Okay. By the way, hold on a second here. This just in. Breaking news.
Beep, 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 beep.
Reese's is reportedly...
Breaking news.
Launching a cup that is stuffed with potato chips.
I'm willing to try that. I'm willing to take a bullet for you guys.
I'm out.
It says there's plenty of sweet and salty combination snacks out there, but Hershey's Reese's might be taking the cake with a new big cup with potato chips. That's what it's called, big cup with potato chips.
Man, they're really creative with the way they name things.
That sounds stupid to me.
What are we going to call the big cup of potato chips?
As name suggests, this candy consists of milk chocolate cups that are filled with potato chip filled peanut butter.
Yeah.
The packaging shows that two cups come in a pack and potato chip pieces are mixed throughout the peanut butter.
It says right here, enter to win a flatbed truck that will remove your body from your home and you die.
Yeah. So you should get a crunchy, salty element in each bite. Mm. That sounds odd to
me. Well, I mean, essentially, they did the fast break bar, right? So... That's with the pretzels.
Yeah, there's plenty of chocolate-covered pretzel snacks.
Wait a second.
But not potato chips.
In this picture that's up on the screen here, it says calories per serving. Is there an actual number on that?
There isn't. They're like...
calories per serving.
You don't need to know that.
There are calories per serving.
we don't really want to tell you.
This doesn't seem real to me. But I guess it is. I don't know. Well... interesting. All right, Chuck, you've taken a stand.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that eats bacon out of a sink, you don't get a vote in my book.
Mm-hmm.
That means that, do you guys know what that means?
No.
He picked bacon out of a sink that it was on a dish, right?
At Casey's Shore House, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Chuck will come by and grab the scraps out of the sink, so.
It's like the guy who ate the wings after everybody nibbled on them in college.
Oh, God.
A friend of Dennis's did that in college.
Wow. Special kind of person.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take a break because we do have our guests coming up next. We are going to talk to a local actress. She's in a movie called Rent-A-Pal, which is a really freaky-looking movie. And this gentleman's done a really cool documentary on the Beatles. And we'll get to the details and those guests when we return. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Mo Lauda and the Humble. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots. Mo Lauda and the Humble, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We were just talking about the Peter Jackson Beatles documentary. It's going to be coming out next year.
Yes.
Which is the footage from the Let It Be film that, just footage that's never been seen before to show a different light, that it wasn't as contentious the entire time. And it's supposed to be really, really, really good and interesting stuff. And that's why I'm also very compelled to take a look at the film the gentleman that we're going to talk to has created. It's called Meeting the Beatles in India. It's a documentary, and it also includes lots of footage that we've never seen.
Yes,
the Beatles before.
Believe it or not, there's still stuff we haven't seen.
Yeah, with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. So, and he's got an interesting story how he got this footage and encountered and spent time with him. So please welcome Paul Saltzman to the show this morning. Good morning, Paul.
That is really quite a welcome.
Well, we try to make people feel comfortable and welcome. So listen, Paul, this... how long ago, what year, what time frame was this, and how did you end up in this location with the Maharishi and the Beatles? If you could walk us down a little bit, then we'll ask you some questions about it.
Sure, absolutely. So 1968, February, I was in India working on a documentary film. I was the sound recordist for a film by the National Film Board of Canada. I had said goodbye to my girlfriend, Tricia. We had both cried a lot. We loved each other a lot. We didn't want to be apart. She cried, I cried. And I went off to India. And 6 weeks later, I got my first letter from Tricia. And the first line was, Dear Paul, I moved in with Henry.
Uh-oh. Wow. Well, there you go. Okay. You, now, you're about 23 at the time?
I had just turned 24.
Okay. So
I was devastated. I was shattered. Have you folks all had at least one heartbreak?
Yeah, of course we have. Yes, we know what it's like. So you're a little lost, and you're in India. And is that what motivated you to, seek some guidance?
Yeah. Well, what happened was that a guy who I knew for 3 days in my life, if he's out there and hears me, I'm still trying to find him to give him a double big thank you. His name is Al Bragg. Now, there's Al Braggs online, but none of them seem to be the right one. But he's American, and I knew him for 3 days in my life. And he said, why don't you try meditation for the heartbreak? And I said, I'll try anything. I remember every word. You know how we remember some of these conversations,
yeah,
word for word. And he said, well, I'm going to hear the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi speak at New Delhi University tonight. Do you want to come? And I didn't know who he was, and I didn't know nothing about meditation or mysticism. And we went, and I only remember one thing the Maharishi said. We were in an auditorium that was, like, jammed with 400 people standing room only. And he said one thing that I remember, but it truly was what I needed to hear. He said, meditation takes you beneath and below your daily worries and concerns to a place of inner rejuvenation from which you come back renewed and refreshed. And I thought, that's what I need. So I went to the ashram, and I already was a Beatles fan, but I got to the ashram gate, and the young man who spoke to me at the gate, it was locked, and I said, I've come to learn meditation, and he said, I'm sorry, the ashram's closed because the Beatles and their wives are here, and that was...
I'll get that.
That was not good news in that moment. It was not good news at all.
Yeah.
So I said, can I wait? And he was a little taken aback, and he said, oh, okay. I had a sleeping bag. There was a tent under the trees across the path,
And he said, you're welcome to sleep in that tent, and we'll send you our simple vegetarian meal. So this guy, whose name was Raghavendra, was my angel, my angel. So I waited, and I waited for 8 days, and then he said, okay, you can come in.
And at this time, the Beatles are still there, and from what you relay, they were very welcoming to you and to your presence, correct?
They were just delightful. They were delightful. They were, you know, no one was getting in. There were 20 to 30 press people, camera people, sound people, writers, newspaper people arriving at the gates every day to, quote, interview the Beatles. And no, sorry, the ashram's closed. So they would wait outside, and the Maharishi would come out every afternoon and do a little press conference so they could get what they came for. And I would watch this for 8 days, and then but they were inside, but no one was being allowed in. And they were just, they were kind, they were generous, they were welcoming, they were unbelievably down to earth. No star stuff.
Who did you first encounter, and what was that encounter like?
So I'm invited in, and Raghavendra takes me to a meditation room, and he teaches me meditation, gives me a mantra, a sound, a vibrational sound. And he says, you're now welcome to spend your days in the ashram and take your meals with us, but you'll still have to sleep in the tent. There's no beds. I say, great. I do a 30-minute meditation, and it's an absolute miracle. I come out of the meditation, and the agony is gone, and what replaced it is bliss. The reason I'm telling you this is what happened next is really related to that bliss. So I go out of the meditation room. And I'm not even thinking Beatles, honest to God, not in my brain at all. I'm just so relieved not to be in agony. And I'm walking through the ashram, and I see John Lennon sitting at a table, maybe 100, 150 feet away.
Wow.
And I can tell that Paul McCartney is sitting across from him. I can only see his back. And in this state of bliss, and I can only describe it this way, it was not a thought. I didn't think Beatles. I just found myself curving towards them, literally found myself curving towards them. I'm halfway there, and I notice very calmly, oh, my heart's beating a little faster. It's like in an altered state, truly, which is what meditation does. And I get to the end of the table, and there's Paul and John and George and Ringo and their wives and Jane Asher and with Paul and Donovan and Mia Farrow and Mike Love of the Beach Boys and Mal Evans, their roadie. And they're talking, so I don't want to interrupt. And I'm just calmly standing at the end of the table.
You guys playing cards?
No, go ahead.
No, they were just you know, being together. So they notice someone's at the end of standing there, of course. And then they stop talking, and John looks up at me, and I just said, "May I join you?" Very calmly, and he said, "Sure, mate. Pull up a chair." Paul turns to me and says, "Come and sit here." And he pulls a chair next to him, and I sit down. Wow.
I mean, for the amount of things in the universe to be aligned for you to be at that moment, to have them in that state of mind, while the press is salivating outside to get access the way you just, by happenstance, are there, is just amazing. And then over the course of the days, I mean, so you're allowed to take photographs. You're allowed to take a number of photographs. Why do you think the barriers were down, and why did they acquiesce to that?
Good question. And what you said at the beginning of that is very important, too. See, I've learned in my life, I didn't know it then, I've learned in my life, and I really mean this, that if we follow our hearts, and that's an easy thing to say, but it's, and it's not hard to do. We just have to ask ourselves, so what do I feel like now? What do I want to do now? And the answers are always deeply within us, in the heart. So I think what happened next, and I'll just keep going, is why they were so open with me. So I sit down, and to my shock, I hear a scream in my head. As soon as my bum hits the seat, I hear a scream in my head. Eek, it's the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. You realize, yeah.
Now, I saw them live in Toronto in 64, and their music had already changed my life. But I never said, eek, it's the Beatles, and that. So this scream in my head is like the fan, right? And the next thing I hear is what I will call my soul. And it's a very deep, calm, all-loving, all-soothing voice. And I hear in my head these words. Hey, Paul, they're just ordinary people like you. Everyone farts and is afraid in the night.
Right.
That's what it said. Hmm. And the next thing that
Yeah, and the next thing that happens, before I have a chance to think, and this is important, guys, you know, the heart is...
Well, we can't say that on the radio in America.
It's a stinky guidance system.
Okay. and the heart is a great guidance system, and it's a bad computer. So the next thing that happens before I have a chance to think is John turns to me. And in his wonderful, wry, tart, digging wit, and without this is not a compliment. And, you know, this is like the Brits thinking they're superior to you Americans, right? Yeah. He says to me, teasing, "So you're American then?" Like, right? Not a compliment.
Right.
And I say, "No, Canadian." And he turns to the rest of the group and he says, "Ah, he's from one of the colonies." And they're all laughing and we're all laughing. And he turns back to me and he says, "So you're still worshiping Her Highness then?" And I say, "No, not personally." And then Ringo and Paul start teasing me about having the Queen on our money. And I say, remember, I'm in an altered state.
Right.
I'm not thinking Beatles. I say, "Well, we may have the Queen on our money, but hey, she lives with you guys."
Yeah.
Now we're all laughing, at which John turns back to the rest of the group and he says, "Ah, you see, they still have a sense of humor in the colonies." Huh. And that was it. They just took me into their group.
Okay.
So they were taking pictures of each other, like it was a family outing on a certain level. Those four guys were close as brothers. You could feel it. You could see it. They were humorous and funny and playful, and they were a team, and they and loved the, each other.
The spirit of this is captured in the film, and you have, I mean, you have David Lynch, I guess, speaking on it as well, and a number of other, Morgan Freeman Penny narrates.
Yeah.
And so this is, I mean, for people may be having a hard time understanding why this is such a seismic thing. But I mean, and I was just saying earlier to Preston, at that point in time, I don't even know if there's a correlation to anybody in entertainment now to what the Beatles were then at that point in time. Virtually everything they laid their hands on or any trend they were a part of became a worldwide phenomenon instantly. So their embracing of this mysticism and India and the Maharishi changed pop culture in a snap.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely did. Absolutely did. And you're right. I don't think there's anyone alive today. And I think that quite did that. And they were... I'll use the word magical in the sense that you say, yes, their creativity and their joy and their playfulness just swept the world.
Yeah, it's an amazing time. And in that particular time with the Maharishi, their creative juices were flowing because they were writing songs that ended up on the White Album.
A ton of songs. Right.
With that, did you hear any works in progress while you were there, Paul?
I heard one. And that was Obladi Oblada. And the story is really lovely. One of the joys for me in making this film is I could use graphic novel illustrations to tell parts of the story that were very deeply intimate with me and George, with me and John, but also was amazingly creative, like the Obladi thing. In other words, there's no photographs of how they were doing that, but I could tell the story with music and graphic novels. So I'm walking along one day in the ashram, and I'm passing John and Paul, and they're sitting on the steps of their bungalow, and they're strumming their Martin D28 acoustic guitars. And I went and got my camera. I only thought of getting my camera twice, because literally within 30 seconds of sitting down with them, as crazy as this sounds, the Beatles went away. And I didn't even think of asking for a photo with him. And we were buddies for a week. And I didn't think of asking. I didn't think of it. So I go get my camera and I come back and I walk through the gate and I say, "Hi, guys." And they say, "Hi, Paul." And I take a shot of John, which is probably my favorite picture, with the one with his finger in his ear. He's scratching his ear and there's this beautiful guitar across his chest. And I sit down and they're fooling around. They're singing a bit of this, a bit of that. I recognize a bit of Michelle, a bit of Eleanor Rigby. They're like just having fun. And then I don't recognize other things they're singing. And then Paul looks down and beneath his toe, under his sandal, is a little piece of torn yellow paper. And I look down and written on it, I can see it says Obladi, Oblada, Bra, Lala, How the Life Goes On. And he's looking at it and they start singing. So it's like he doesn't know the words yet. He's just written them down.
Wow.
So,
they're singing it over and over again, and they're working with it. And the key thing is they were having so much fun. You could see
it's good to hear that
pouring out of them. Oh, yeah.
So it's like, we got to write another hit. Time is money. Come on, come on. You know, it's a much more relaxed sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was just flowing. So I'm sitting there, and I take the odd picture. And I take one picture, which is called Obladi Oblada, because and they paused just to take a rest. They went back into it. But just before the pause, I take this picture. Paul looks up at me, and he says, that's all there is so far. We don't have any of the words yet. And then they went back to it.
Wow. That's pretty incredible, man. By the way, Paul, is there any video that you managed to get, any film?
Well, so I shot these pictures. I put them away. I forgot about them for 32 years till my daughter reminded me of them. And then, but I also shot 100 feet of movie film. And the reason for that was Ringo was shooting with his camera. And he said to me one day, we're making a film about the Maharishi and meditation, but I'm not going to be in it because I'm behind the camera. Would you shoot some film for me so that I can be in it? And he showed me how to work his camera, so I shot some film for them for a couple of days. And then I finished, and he gave me a 100-foot roll of film. And, he was very funny. He gives me this 100-foot roll of unexposed Kodak 16-millimeter film, and he says, here, why don't you take this and shoot it? And keep it for yourself. You never know, it might be worth some money one day. And we have a big laugh. Yeah. We have a big laugh. And I take it and I say, well, thank you. I don't know why it would ever be worth any money. And we have a big laugh. I shoot the 100-foot roll of film. I develop it. I show it to a few friends. And when I found my still photos 32 years later, there was no film. And I've never been able to find it.
Oh, man. That's too bad.
Well, you have a documentary, and that's good enough.
Yeah, you do. Which, by the way, Paul, how is it available for people to watch?
So you can go to – there's several ways you can see it. One is you can go to my website, which is just thebeatlesinindia.com, and you'll see a link to the film, and that'll take you to the film, and you buy a ticket, and you can see the film like it's a streaming thing.
Okay.
There's also going to be a pay-per-view release on the anniversary of John's birthday on October 9 coming up. So there'll be a pay-per-view release, which will make it available to, I'm told, 80 million American homes. That would be nice. I sunk all my savings into the film, so it'll be nice if people watch it. Okay. But mostly, so that's the two ways you can find it. So go to my website, TheBeatlesInIndia.com, and there's a link there.
Okay. Very cool.
We'll post it on our website so our listeners can find it. What a great story, Paul. I'm so glad somebody talked you into to going and taking a look at those photos again and releasing this, because I love seeing, you know, we've seen so many photos and a lot of them the same ones over and over, so it's great to be able to see some fresh material like this. Best of luck with the film, and that's a great story.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, Paul Saltzman, guys. The movie is called Meeting the Beatles in India. It's interesting, Steve, because you mentioned the, it's hard to grasp the size of what they were at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you didn't have as many outlets as you do now as far as entertainment goes, and they so dominated. it's staggering. My friends and I recently did a contest where we would create our own Beatles playlist out of cover songs that other artists have done of Beatles songs.
Right.
So when I started heading down this path, now I know some songs, but I started doing some research and finding there are so many covers and tributes to this band.
Sure.
And I mean, that took place during that day and age, like Aretha Franklin, like Ella Fitzgerald, Buddy Rich, Fats Domino, the masters of their craft, not even in that format of music.
Sinatra covered them.
Sinatra. We're doing
Tony Bennett. Bennett.
To this band at that time, when they were still around.
Yeah.
That's how big they were.
It's heavy duty.
It's hard to imagine. There's nothing like that now, for sure.
The documentary makes an interesting aesthetic choice. When there are things that they don't have footage of, they use the California Raisins to portray the Beatles, which is kind of a weird call.
That's
odd, yeah.
Do you want me to see if I can get Amy on? Is that what you're asking?
Well, she's scheduled to be at 9:20, so that's why I'm holding this
9:30.
Up.
Is it 9:30?
9:30. Okay.
Well, 9:20 is the new 9:30.
It's the new 9:30.
I'll text her right now, and while I do that, I was going to ask Preston, what year did you interview Paul?
It was 1993.
Okay.
When's the Your documentary coming out?
That will be, it was another 10 years
His name
so.
Was Kenny Knight. He had no idea he was preparing to interview one of the greatest performers of all time. He was using a phone.
That's
with
right.
A microphone taped to it.
That's right. And my greatest regret was having him sign the poster to Ken.
It was at that moment that Preston looked at the signature and realized it had been signed to Ken instead of Preston.
Do you? You have to still have that audio. And if you have, we played it.
I have it in my briefcase.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Can we play that? Like.
I'm not real proud of the interview.
Oh, stop
come
it.
On, man. Listen, we promise to make very little fun of you.
Yeah, I have it. I honestly carry it with me.
Do you?
Uh-huh.
All right, how about if you let us listen to it, I'll get my first traffic report.
Ooh.
I thought that was accessible. Or you have it?
No,
you,
I have it. It's on VHS.
And you have my air check tape,
Her
right?
Her name was Kathy Romano.
not in my briefcase.
You sent me a picture, and for some reason, you have an old air check tape of mine, which I don't know why you do.
I don't know. I save a bunch of stuff. You know what? Let me see if I do indeed have that cassette. I may have taken it out here, but
I guarantee you, mine's worse than yours.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure. Well, no doubt.
No doubt.
Let me see, because I used to. Here's my emergency porn that I have.
You gotta have it. What if you get caught in a snowstorm?
Yeah, or the
what are you gonna pledge yourself to?
Yeah,
Preston. Apparently, we have played it before, and it's available on our website.
Oh, well,
then I take back the traffic.
HTTP://something-or-other.
Well, that's the kind of impact it had on us that we didn't recall. I thought we had played it on the air.
We've done a lot. We've been on the air for 22 years.
I know. All right. It's a lot to remember.
You know what? And I lied. I don't. Now I need to know if I have.
Well, let's
it on
listen
the air.
To the porn.
Yeah.
No, it's a book.
Oh.
It's a. You want to
read it?
Read it
out loud.
Yeah.
It's a magazine. You know, the old days.
My babysitter.
It's erotica?
I can tell by that huge bulge in your pants.
Hang on. Wait, I'll show you my emergency porn.
Morgan Freeman will narrate anything, I guess. For...
Wait, where did that go?
There's too many compartments in that thing.
It's, there's a lot. Oh, yeah. Here you go. This is it's Playboy.
Oh, that's very innocuous,
and
too.
This was,
it's very respectful.
And I think it's autographed from...
By Paul McCartney.
No, Brie Olson.
Oh,
Paul McCartney autographed.
You want
porn?
Me to sign this? Right here above the labia?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Paul. I have nothing to... I just don't have it. Even if... Post-its, there's nothing, so could you sign this?
Yeah, all right.
Here, do you want to hear some of it? We do have...
No, we have a guest on the line.
But it's Come only on. 15 seconds.
Okay, yeah, here we go. This is...
Jim getting ready for the big show tonight with the man of the hour, the man of the evening... The one that St. Louis is all set to go. 40,000 people going to pack the place tonight. I have sitting next to me Mr. Paul McCartney. Paul, welcome to St. Louis. Thank you, sir. Nice to be here and glad to have you here.
Oh, man, I'm getting goosebumps just hearing that.
And you were doing fine. Oh. You were doing fine.
Well, to preface that, I didn't know I was going to interview him.
Right.
They told I was just there to meet him, and they said, you have 10 minutes with Paul. And I'm like, 10 minutes to do what? And they said, well, they interview him. And I'm like,
10 minutes to do what?
Okay. I was terrified. Absolutely terrified. I would say things and not even realize I was saying things. So, you know, asking questions. And I didn't ask him anything about the Beatles.
What
nothing.
What was it like being in the Stones?
Anyway, it was a special moment in my career. All right, but now I get to interview Amy Rutledge.
And this is a new career.
Yeah,
an up-and-comer, a rising star.
She's local. She actually got in touch with us because there is a film that's called Rent-A-Pal, and Nick showed me the trailer to it.
It's very creepy.
It's a creepy-looking movie.
I love the concept, though. I love independent films like this. You're going to find some of the best stuff coming out this way.
And it took me a moment to recognize a somewhat familiar person in the movie, and I didn't realize it until most of the way through the trailer. It's Will Wheaton.
Will.
Yeah. And so she is local, and we would like to welcome Amy Rutledge to the show. Rent-A-Pal is the movie. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
We're awesome. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm so excited. Thanks so much for having me on.
No problem. Where are you from, by the way?
So I am originally from Northwest New Jersey, out by Easton, Pennsylvania. Oh. But I grew up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania for some time. Okay. But now I'm currently living in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Okay, I gotcha. And how long have you been acting?
On and off for about 14 years.
Wow, okay.
Is this like your fifth or sixth film? I mean, because you also do a lot of work with meditation and stuff like that as well, correct?
I do, yeah. So meditation is my career and also acting. I've done, I think I have like 35 credits on my IMDb right now with acting. And I do both when I can. And I had to take major pauses from acting because I was really sick for half of my life. So, So right now I'm acting and doing meditation. And I also do some, I'm an artist, so I do ceramics as well.
Well, I'll tell you something. Reviewing, I always like to see, you know, check in general reviews. Rotten Tomatoes, there's a number of really good reviews. I'm drawn to movies like this because, you know, these are, again, you have up-and-comers. I think the director is also the writer, John Stevenson. I think he's at first, his debut as a director, and he edited the film. And you sometimes get a better, sharper sort of image, and the director, it's more of a direct conduit between what the director wanted and what ends up on the screen. And so, but just give an idea for people what Rent-A-Pal is about.
Yeah, so it takes
Rent-A-Friend, I should say. Yeah.
No, it's Rent-A-Pal.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, Rent-A-Pal. No, it's totally fine because it's actually based off an actual VHS videotape called Rent-A-Friend.
Oh, okay. I thought so. I think I remember seeing this in video stores.
Oh, my God. Yeah, did you have it?
No, I didn't. But I thought it was, man, don't let me get that low where I need to rent this, you know?
Yeah, so he found this film, and then he was in a, like, a dark place in his own life, and he was like, you know, who would watch this? And so he got this idea for this creepy premise. So this it revolves around this man named David, and he's in his 40s, and he's taking care of his mother, who's abusive, and she has dementia, and that's his whole life. And he lives in the mom's basement, takes care of her 24/7, doesn't even have a job, and
he's dutifully taking care of her, but there are signs that it's just breaking him down.
Yes, absolutely. And like the loneliness, and he's just really starting to grow a lot of resentment over the course of the movie. And so he's trying to find a mate, a relationship. And so he's doing this VHS video dating tapes, which is really funny because I kind of remember that growing up as well. That's how he meets my character, Lisa, and we really hit it off. But in the middle of all this, he finds this Rent-A-Pal, which is Will Wheaton's character. And it's kind of like this thing. Everyone's calling him like the creepy Mr. Rogers, which I think is pretty accurate.
Yeah.
He's on the VHS tape and he has like the script that he's saying. And so David is so lonely and so vulnerable that he kind of becomes obsessed with this tape, and he learns all the lines so they can actually answer to him in real time. And, you know, they play card games and he becomes very...
It starts to blur for him so that he believes he's engaging in full conversations, correct?
Exactly,
And like RogerEbert.com, I was reading their review, and they said Will Wheaton playing one of the scariest villains of the year. I mean, there's some really solid reviews on that. You come in as a love interest, but in a way, you have no idea what how far along he is in his mental breakdown.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I come in and I kind of like to think of my character. She's like, it's a very dark, it's very sad film, but that's very, very creepy. And I think I'm like the only shining light in the whole film for his life. You know, everything's just so, you know, depressing. So,
you know what it makes me think of in a way? Joker.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of people have been saying that about it.
Yeah, it has that same sort of thing where, you know, these sort of people that live, you know, just in this sort of realm. And he's obviously a caregiver to his mom. And it's the same sort of situation where you're like, you know, what happens to people like this when they don't have any input outside of that in their lives? And a couple of the critics, and again, very favorable reviews talking about how it's an interesting addressing of that issue of loneliness and dementia and stuff like that caregivers have to go through, and sometimes they cash in their own lives and don't even realize it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's really sad, and it also is like a good, you know, I think we can all relate to it now, especially what's going on with the, you know, pandemic.
Yeah.
That loneliness and just, you know, utter desperate to be around someone in that, for that connection and to be loved and, you know, to love in return. It's just heartbreaking.
Hey, Amy, since Will Wheaton's character only exists in this VHS world on the other side of the TV screen, did you guys ever meet? Did you ever have to act with him in person, or did the other guy who played David?
No, I never got to meet him, and I feel like everyone gets so disappointed. I'm sorry.
Well, big Star Trek fan, so yeah. But he's great.
I know.
It's the way these things are, though. A lot of times, people always naturally assume, well, I guess everyone's just hanging out on the set, and it's all, but it's not the case.
Yeah, and I would imagine how it would be to reach out to him, say, hey, by the way, remember we starred in that movie together, but I never met you.
Exactly. Like, yeah. It's so awkward. I haven't done that yet, but I'm kind of like, I might reach out to my producers and director, be like, hey, can we, like, would you be up to, like, just like zooming just so we can, like,
it's totally well within
you're one of the stars of the movie. You deserve that.
Amy, you and I were talking the other day about how you got your start, and I think it's really cool that you'd be driving down from Bucks County to, you know, driving down 95 to hear a casting, and listen, the music business is really hard to get into, the movie business and acting is really difficult, but you were able to maintain persistence, and do you look at this as sort of the fruits of your labor at sort of sticking with it, and now you're starting to have some success with it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would listen to you guys all the time driving down to Erie Casting. I actually did a film called The Neighbor in that area, and then another film in Bucks County called Eyes of the Dead. And but, you know, I'd have to take these major breaks because I was so sick. I had Lyme disease. I had Babesia and Bartonella, which are all tick-borne.
Oh, my God. So that all you had a – so you obviously – did Lyme lead into the others, or were they all at the same time?
I don't know, and I don't know if I'll ever know, but, you know, I was, like, horrifically ill for quite a period of time, and 10 years, actually, because I went mistreated and diagnosed. Yeah, but so I still kept with it, though. I mean, like, the film industry is hard enough, and, like, acting is hard enough, but, like, added on, like, being bedridden for huge chunks of time. So, like, I would go through periods where I would, you know, when I was filming Neighbor and I was going down to Erie, and I was booking a lot, and, you know, I was really excited because I'm like, okay, my career is, like, you know, things are, like, popping off now. And,
right.
But then I'd have to take, like, years off, and so it was very heartbreaking for me.
It's got to be frustrating.
Yeah. And so, but now, you know, I've healed, I've received miraculous healing. And so I feel like now I'm ready, you know, like I've learned a lot of skills. I've learned to survive. I've learned to really, you know, be at peace with my past and everything that's happened, because I know, like, everything happens for a reason.
Well, that's
and
awesome.
So that's where I'm at right now.
So we laid the same, edict out to you. You have to become a superstar and then just remember us when that happens, if you could do that.
Oh, my God. Most definitely. You guys are in my heart. Like, I listen to you, like, I don't even know, like 10 years ago, I feel like.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad you made it through it, and glad you're doing the meditation must help a great deal. And you know, listen, you know, have you had any conversations or encountered M. Night Shyamalan in this area? He's always working.
I have not. No, not yet. But maybe if he's listening, hey.
All right. Well, listen, Amy, good luck with everything. Red and Pal, by the way, is available on demand right now. It's in select theaters, so you can do a quick search on Rent a Pal, and you can watch this and help Amy out and get a little freaky movie on. So.
Yeah, looks great.
Awesome. Amy, great to meet you. Thanks for coming on this morning, and have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Thank you so much. Have a good day, guys.
All right. Amy Rutledge.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, Joker's exactly what I thought, Steve. Yeah.
Right?
While watching this, yeah.
And so you can rent it, or it's available to stream? I kind of...
On demand.
On demand.
Yeah,
all
it's
right,
in select theaters and on demand, so I don't know. That's what it says.
So we do have a couple more clips from Preston's interview with Paul McCartney, if you want to hear them.
Let's hear them.
All right, cool. Okay. We have a good question, and then your ending of the interview, which I think sounds really good.
All right, here we go.
Hey, remember when you were in the Beatles and you did that album, Abbey Road, and at the very end of the song, it goes, and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. You remember that?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, Chris. In my experience, it is. I find the more you give, the more you get.
laughs when he goes, awesome. Remember that? All right, let's get the ending. By the way, you said you weren't going to bust my balls on this.
Thank you, Paul McCartney. Thank you for being one of the greatest a living legend. And a legend of rock and roll. And just thanks for being on the show.
That's one of the all-time best bits. Yeah. All right, we're going to break. We're going to come back. We got Bizarre File stories on the way, so make sure you stay close.
Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait.
We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
A reminder, if you would like a couple of tchotchkes from our world, the Kathy Romano Fall Activities t-shirt is now available.
Get it while it's hot.
Yeah, and they were selling like crazy yesterday. Yeah.
They're long sleeve, too.
But they won't run out. I believe they're not allowed to. They make them as you order them, from what I understand.
They're not going to get sold out. However, it's only available until Tuesday. So,
oh, correct.
Yeah, so you do have to get them now.
Yep, and also available, the Preston and Steve shower beer holder. Yeah. And it is also a Bluetooth player, so you can listen to MMR while you're having your shower.
That's awesome.
Or having your beer in the shower.
Or a cup of coffee.
So you can do that now through WMMR.com and the Rock Shop. So that's also a flash sale and only available through Tuesdays. Get them. Let's take a look at NJM Insurance Group Traffic. Our final look.
Oh,
what's up,
really?
Kathy? Yeah, it's 9:50.
Oh, I hope we were done. Hold on. Give me a minute then. You're probably going to have to give me a couple minutes.
A couple minutes. Yeah, okay.
Nope, hold on.
A couple moments.
Yeah. Wow, I really put. Hey, add this to the list.
Yeah.
Sparkle, sparkle.
All right,
we've got jam traffic on 295 southbound at 322. The left lane is closed with construction. On 55 southbound, we still have that tractor trailer that ran off the roadway. The right lane is blocked. They are trying to wrap this up. There's a heavy-duty tow truck on the scene there. Schuylkill Expressway westbound jams University to South Street. 95 southbound, slowing Cotman through to Bridge. The Vine westbound backs up the Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill. Ben Franklin Parkway northbound closed between 22nd Street northbound closed between the Parkway and Spring Garden Street. And then on the Ben Franklin Parkway, we still have the outer drive closed outbound. And then across the Ben Franklin Bridge westbound, we've got some volume from the toll plaza to the downside, and that is because of right lane construction. This traffic report brought to you by News Nation. Facts, not opinions. News, not talk. Watch News Nation every night at 8, 7 Central on WGN America. Check your local listings. It's your news, your nation. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, just to follow up on a conversation from earlier this morning, Chuck D'Amico had posted something about plain M&M's being way better than peanut M&M's. So he put a Twitter poll up.
Right.
And the two choices you have are either plain is better than peanut or peanut is worse than plain.
That's the poll he put up?
That's what he put up.
Yeah.
So as you can imagine, it's...
people are voting.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Chuck. All right, we're going to do the Bizarre Five.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Godshall's. All the bacon tastes 80% less fat. The hometown favorite, Godshall's Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon, from their family of owners to yours. And it's available at Acme, ShopRite, Wegmans, Redner's, Walmart, and Sam's Club. Finding a message in a bottle on the beach is one thing, but this guy found a brain washed up on shore, wrapped in foil.
What?
When he held it up to his ear, could he hear the water?
The discovery happened on the shores of Lake Michigan Tuesday morning in Wisconsin when a beachcomber out for his daily stroll came across a square package of aluminum foil held together by a pink rubber band. Jimmy Senda says curiosity got the best of him, so he opened up the package and discovered the gruesome contents. At first, Jimmy says His own brain didn't even register what he had just found. And then after a few moments, he realized he wasn't holding a chicken breast. At first, that's what he thought it was, but rather someone or something's noodle. Jimmy called the police to investigate, and the Racine County Medical Examiner tells TMZ the brain is not human.
It looks very small.
It says it appears to be from a cat.
You borrow my brain for 5 seconds and just be like, dude, can't handle it. Unplug this bastard. Yeah.
Unplug it, freaking brain.
Wrap it in foil.
Yeah, wrap it out of foil. Must be from a freaking sea cat.
Yes.
Yeah, so. I mean, this is still creepy.
Yes.
Cat or not.
Absolutely.
Disgusting.
I mean, come on. It's a freaking brain in a freaking tinfoil pouch. Silver Surfer gone on a rolling ocean of cat brains. Freaking crazy.
Surfer on a rolling ocean of cat brains. Wow.
Hanging 10 on a surfboard as I ride over a bunch of cat brains.
All right, so, yeah.
Maybe that was somebody's lunch.
Found a brain. Here's a follow-up story. A dentist in Alaska has been sentenced to more than a decade behind bars after he was found guilty of operating on a patient while on a hoverboard. Oh, that was one of the things he did. You guys remember this story?
I do.
Yeah, Seth Lookhart.
Freaking hoverboard.
Was sentenced to 12 years in prison on Monday, 9 months after he was convicted of dozens of charges that included medical fraud, reckless endangerment, and unlawful dental acts.
I forget, did he in fact have an incident where he fell off the hoverboard?
No,
was
no.
He was able to do it then.
Yeah, he was able to do it.
I envy
but
that.
It puts the patient in
the patient at risk.
Yeah, was it a Mercury hoverboard by any chance?
It was a Mercury hoverboard.
Right, on a Mercury surfboard.
All right, man, that's how I do my dentistry. Freaking dentistry. Or when I'm removing cat brains.
Well, you need to be medically
absolutely
trained if you're removing cat brains. Additionally, Lookhart...
I have warlock's blood.
Additionally, Lookhart will not be allowed to practice medicine during his 10-year probation following his eventual release from prison. During the sentencing, Judge Michael...
Prison, man.
Wolverton said that Lookhart's actions, including sedating patients for... extended periods of time, darn near killed some people, he said. Now, according to the dentist himself, he said in a prepared apology in court, "While I do not doubt that I was able to render care and alleviate the pain to many people who were in need, in dire need, I also know that I could have and should have maintained better discipline and focus while serving the patient base I came to love." He also had purchased... Or he had purchased Alaska Dental Arts in 2015, changed the name to Clear Check Dental, and his office manager, Shauna Cranford, billed Medicaid for unnecessary IV sedation procedures.
Well, that's the frickin' problem.
Fraudulently billed near $2 million.
And that's why he's going to jail.
Lockhart's trial included testimony from several of his former patients, including a woman who had a tooth pulled while the dentist was standing on a hoverboard. Lockhart was caught in cell phone video. Pulling the unconscious woman's tooth before riding the hoverboard into the hallway. Jeez. And raising his hands over his head.
So, clearly it was the bilking Medicaid?
Yes, but there were several other incidents of him doing shoddy dental work, too, on top of that. Speaking of that, this is not part of the bizarre file, but there's a TikTok challenge where kids file their own teeth down.
Yeah, I saw this.
No.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my God.
To flatten them if they have crooked teeth.
Uh-huh.
Or they're uneven teeth. To yes, Kathy, same thing. I made that same face while I was reading. Actually, I was going like this.
Oh,
I was like,
when someone gets hit in the nuts and you hunch over.
Yeah, I like
anything with the teeth.
I put my lips over my teeth like this. Like, they've been taking a nail file and filing their teeth. That is not a good thing to do. While dentists can do that professionally for the right scenario,
they're freaking dentists.
Yes, exactly. And that can actually, if you do enough damage, you can kill the tooth. You can get it in there and eventually cause so many problems that it can kill the tooth.
It's moronic. TikTok. Well, yay, another one.
All right. And then finally, we'll end with this one. It's a messed up story. I usually don't end on messed up stories, but I can't not pass this one to you. A man is facing charges after police found a woman's remains inside her boyfriend's bags in Illinois. Those remains, police say, were transferred from Louisville. Melvin Martin Jr. went to visit his family in Illinois with multiple bags. Police said that the family became suspicious of the bags and had noticed a smell. When Martin left the house on Tuesday, family members reportedly opened one of the bags. Police said that the parts they found in the bag were that of his girlfriend, who had been chopped up. They found a head, organs, and the bottom half of her body. The torso was missing.
So he packs up the parts of his girlfriend and takes them to his family?
Exactly it. Martin had carried those bags via a Greyhound bus when he took that he took from Louisville. Police,
well, you said you wanted to meet her.
The Louisville police had been contacted and said that that led them to a house.
Oh, my God.
And they later determined that the homicide had occurred there.
Was his plan to get rid of the parts there?
I don't think so. Police said the woman had been dead for at least 30 days before her transport.
Oh, my God.
And had been previously reported missing. They believe her death had started as a domestic assault. Martin was arrested, eventually gave a full statement to police, admitting that the torso was buried in a park near where the two lived in Louisville. When asked about why he kept the parts of her body, he told police he still wanted to be with her, at least part of her.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Okay. You're going to make me cry.
Well, I know. Sorry about that.
Hey, no, good to see you again. Not.
No sad bro.
No sad bro.
On Friday.
Have you met my girlfriend? She's in those 9 bags.
Mm-hmm. All right. And we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. And, oh, wait. We have a new Daily Rush fan.
And we have giveaways, too.
What was that voice?
I don't know. Okay. You started making yourself laugh like as a joke laugh, right? And then that laugh led to a genuine laugh.
I have no idea.
Okay.
New Daily Rush.
I enjoyed it.
Episode available. It's called Vanity Dildos.
Vanity Dildos.
Said, want to terrify your HR and IT department? Do a search for sport dildos like we did.
Watch. We can, though.
Yeah.
Watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. It's sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So thank you to Nick Murphy for giving us that. All right. And am I giving all these away?
Yeah, why not, man?
All right. So I have the Alfred Hitchcock Classic Collection, including 4 iconic films from the Master of Suspense. We'll start with caller number 10. So 10, 11, and 12.
Wow.
We'll give you the never-released uncut version of Psycho, Rear Window, Vertigo, and The Birds, plus hours of bonus features, documentaries, expert commentaries, and more.
You're looking at masterpieces.
215-263-WMMR. You can own it on 4K Ultra HD Combo Pack with Blu-ray and digital code. So, yes, callers 10, 11, and 12. You get the goods. We'll take a break, come back in a second, and we'll see how you do with the lesson questions. Stay there.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're Friday bound, gang. Yep. That's right. That word feels so good to say. It'll feel even better if you have won our Award of the Week prize, which is coming along shortly. Get ready for it. In the meantime, we have something else to give away, and that is via the lesson question from today's program. We have a $50 Bonefish Grill gift card to give to the person who can answer this question. Man, there's really good ones today. I can go back to the very... Let's go to the early one here.
All right.
At the technical Emmys last night, who accepted on behalf of Atticus Finch? 215-263-WMMR.
I had that jotted down for the promo.
At the technical Emmys last night, who accepted on behalf of Atticus Finch? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. We'll do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Rita's. It's still open and serving all your favorite frozen treats. Stock up on quarts of Italian ice and fill your freezer with the delicious taste. Taste. I said taste.
Whatever.
It's okay.
It's close.
Taste of Rita's.
Yeah. Tastes good.
Taste of Rita's. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Black China revealing in a new interview on Hip Hop Nation that her, quote, biggest flex is not getting no child support. China, who has a son with Tyga and a daughter with Rob Kardashian, says her children are everything to her, or at least something to her.
Hey!
Carol Baskin claiming she has absolutely no problem with commercials running to assist in finding her missing husband, Don Lewis. Baskin says her only problem would be if they actually found Don Lewis. J-Lo and A-Rod are leaving Malibu after selling their beachfront home for $7 million. The power couple admits their love affair with the boo dropped dramatically after neighbor Caitlyn Jenner started clamming topless. And that's your Hollywood track.
All right, thank you, Steve. I noticed you actually mentioned the answer to our almost part of the answer to our lesson question. We'll see if somebody knows it, though. At the Technical Emmys last night, who accepted on behalf of Atticus Finch? And I will go to Larry and see if he knows. Hey, Larry. Hey, Larry.
You guys rock.
Oh, hey. Thank you. Larry, what? Who accepted for Atticus Finch last night?
Boo Radley?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Larry. Hey, Larry. Hey, Larry.
Hang on, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
We'll get your info, and we are going to set you up with a $50 Bonefish Grill gift card. Bonefish Grill helps make feeding families easy and delicious this fall season. You can check out their expanded menu featuring all-time favorites, new surf and turf pairings, and family bundles starting just $30 for up to five people. Order online at bonefishgrill.com, delivery for DoorDash and Uber Eats, or dine in whenever you are ready. Let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, it's brought to you by God Scholl's. All the bacon taste, 80% less fat. The hometown favorite, God Scholl's Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon. And it's from their family of owners to yours. Available at Acme, ShopRite, Wegmans, Redner's, Walmart, and Sam's Club. Dave Grohl has revealed that he always feels like quitting Foo Fighters when they go on tour. During a conversation with AC/DC's Brian Johnson for a new Sky Arts documentary, Dave said about touring, said, it's kind of a running joke with everyone in my life where after I've been on the road for a year and a half, I come home from tour and I say, I am never doing that again. That's it. That's the last time. Never again. I'm going to take 2 years off. And all my friends look at me and say, bull S, there is no way.
I wonder how much he's biting at the bit to get out and tour after all of this.
Yeah, he said, and then after a month and a half, I've got a guitar on my lap and I'm writing songs and I call the guys and say, let's make another record. Every time, he says. So everybody gets burned out, man.
Sure.
So that's part and parcel.
That's why I haven't written a record in a long time.
Smashing Pumpkins and Pearl Jam will co-headline the See Here Now Music and Surf Festival that will be at Asbury Park, New Jersey, next year.
Freaking surfboard.
The two-day festival is set to run September 18th and 19th. That's huge, man.
It was supposed to be this Sunday. I have it on my calendar.
Really?
Yeah, Pearl Jam, question mark, Asbury Park, New Jersey. So, yeah, they were supposed to do it this year. I guess they're just pushing it off by a year.
Do they surf in Asbury Park?
I don't know. That's a good question. Jackson probably does. I think surfing at the Jersey Shore is possible, I should say.
Yeah.
It's just not great surfing.
Yeah, it's not world-renowned surfing or
it's
anything like
that. Filthy.
But, there's cat brains all over the place. other scheduled performers include Patti Smith, Patti Scialfa from the E Street Band, Billy Idol,
Kayaki.
Poor Jack.
I love him.
I don't.
The Avett Brothers, Matt and Kim, Orville Peck, Tank and the Bangas.
Tank and the Bangas.
Yeah, they got them. Moon Taxi, the Soul Rebels, Ron Artist 2, and The Truth. You know what I need to start doing? I need to start adding
fake bands
here and there. Yeah. And see if you
like Bill Weston does.
Pick up, oh man. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
You know who's a good band amongst that group? There's a lot of good bands, but Matt and Kim. Have you ever heard a lot of Matt and Kim stuff?
I've heard none of Matt and Kim stuff.
Okay, I think you might like it.
What's it like?
It's sort of altish sounding.
Yeah, poppy alt.
Yeah, but it's very percussive too. Mm.
2 day tickets start at $205 each and are available now at seeherenowfestival.com. The annual event has drawn upwards of 20,000 fans per day. Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross won their first ever Emmy Award last night. The pair took home the prize for outstanding music composition for a limited series, movie, or special, and it was for their work on the miniseries Watchmen at the Creative Arts Emmys last night.
It was great stuff.
So is Trent Reznor now an ego, and he just needs the t?
I guess so.
For a Tony? Yeah, I don't know.
I think that, well...
I don't know.
There was a special presenter last night, Preston.
It's an Emmy, yeah.
We were pretty much allowed to go.
So he's Emmy, Grammy, and Oscar.
Yeah, a Tony. He can definitely get to a Tony with his work. Absolutely.
And he should. Absolutely. And by the way, yeah, the music in The Watchmen, very original. Really cool sounding stuff. In fact, I had Casey pull some of it for Halloween when we eventually get into that the full season of that, because some of it has such a unique... trippy sound to it. Hang on, Marissa.
Oh, after you finish this, I just want to add something really quickly.
Okay, all right.
You know, by the way, Preston, Zack Snyder is doing, he is in the works to do an actual riff on The Watchmen as a continuing series as well.
That'd be cool.
And that'd be great, yeah.
Reznor, oh, this is some of it, yeah.
This is one I thought was the coolest one he did.
Reznor and Ross previously won an Oscar for the score of David Fincher's The Social Network and a Grammy for the soundtrack to Fincher's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and Reznor has two additional Grammys for Nine Inch Nails music. So, yeah, all he's got to do is snag a Tony, and he gets the EGOT, which is pretty wild, man. Yeah, the music's really, really cool, and the show is fantastic. Slipknot drummer Jay Weinberg announced... Oh, wait, Marissa. Let's go back to Marissa. Yes.
Just real quick, I'm up from Emmy tomorrow.
What?
Shut up.
Oh, for the...
A local Emmy?
Yes.
Yeah, for your... for the Nerd Street Gamer thingy?
For FTW Philly, yes. It's on NBC Sportsnet. Or NBC Sports, I'm sorry. I didn't really want to, like, make a big deal about it.
You should have made a big deal about it.
I just want to congratulate all the people I work with. Maestro is the film company that does all the editing and everything for it. So there's a whole team of people that are part of it that are up for it. So I just want to wish everybody good luck.
What's the category?
I don't remember. There's like three of them.
DVDA?
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Steve, you nailed it.
It's local hosting?
Yeah.
For like a variety?
Yeah, it's for like a specific package that we had done.
That is awesome. That's congratulations.
Yeah, so, man. Good luck with that.
You and Atticus Finch.
Okay, yeah. If you guys win, do you get a trophy?
Yeah. It's like a legit, like heavy, big, real Emmy trophy.
Yeah.
It would be the same as local journalists get for news. Yes, it's the same thing. Good. That's wonderful. Well, we'll be pulling for you.
Thank you. I'll let everybody know via social media.
Please do. Or you could just text us, too. Let me see here. You mean everybody else?
Yeah.
All right.
It'd be a lot of people
you're
to text.
Have to check my account.
Who is this who keeps texting me?
So Jay Weinberg announced he's married his longtime girlfriend, Chloe Howcroft. Weinberg, who joined the band back in 2014, he is, of course, son of E Street Band drummer Max Weinberg, and subbed for his dad back in 2009, drumming for Bruce Springsteen during the Boston tour. Behind that year's working on a Dream album. He posted a photo of the happy couple on Instagram and wrote, "We're married. Text J. Chloe," and then he gives a number to send a picture if you'd like to join our Smile Booth wedding guest book. The Weinberg family portrait by the amazing Richie Beckett. And then he hashtagged it, "What a wonderful world."
What a wienderful world.
Oh, you're right. What a wienderful world. Okay. And then finally, it was 50 years ago today that Jimi Hendrix passed away at the age of 27.
Wow, 27. That club of legends that died at the age of 27.
Yep, he's in there with
Janis Joplin.
And Jim Morrison. And
every one of them had sex with Kathy's father.
Yeah. Was Keith Moon? No, he was older than 27, I think. But yeah, Kurt Cobain.
Yes, 27 as well.
So, it was nearly five decades later, the events surrounding his death remain sketchy at best, with the only clear fact being that the coroner's report stated that Jimmy had asphyxiated on his own vomit, which mainly consisted of red wine. Monica Daneman, his girlfriend at the time, has long contended that he was alive when placed in the ambulance. Set for release on DVD Blu-ray and CD vinyl on November 20th is Music Money Madness, Jimi Hendrix in Maui. The film chronicles Jimmy's legendary visit to Maui and how the band became ensnarled with the ill-fated Rainbow Bridge movie produced by their controversial manager, Michael Jeffrey.
If you've ever seen, and there are a couple of interviews with him, he's very thoughtful and very specific about his music and his approach to songwriting. And, he's a really
a well-rounded guy.
Yeah, yeah. He was ahead of his time, too, as far as the instrumentation goes as well. And there you go. That's what I have for you in Music News this morning. Let's take a break, come back, get ready to wrap thing up, give away this prize. People have been trying to win our Word of the Week prize. That is on the way. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Mo Lauda and the Humble. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots. Mo Lauda and the Humble. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Wrapping up the program here at 10:33 a.m. and had a very interesting show today. Yeah. Number of guests on the program, number of mistakes on the program from second one that we began
from start to finish.
But I did resist the urge to start drinking, which I made so many mistakes at the beginning of the show that I felt like I needed to
you might die of alcohol
poisoning to numb myself a little bit, but I didn't do it. That's later on. It's Friday, man. So I want to thank Mark Summer.
Yeah.
Mark's great. Wonderful to catch up with him. He is hosting a Trivia for a Cause event in support of Generation Citizens Sunday at 8 p.m. And they're going to be doing double there. And it's like a Zoom thing that you can get on board.
It's pretty cool.
So we have a link to that at WMMR.com. Also, we had director Paul Saltzman on. He's got a film called Meeting the Beatles in India. He had a really cool life experience where he ended up with the Maharishi. And it was during that time, that 3 or 4 weeks that the Beatles lived on his, I forgot the
name. Ashram.
Their ashram, yeah. And he became pals with them. It was pretty wild.
If you're mildly a fan of the Beatles, I think this is something you'd probably want to see.
Yeah, so that is now available. And he had mentioned where you can get it. I just don't remember what that is. So
Pornhub.com.
Actually, PrestonandSteve.com has the link.
Oh, there you go. Okay, perfect.
And also Amy Rutledge.
Yeah. She's adorable.
Local actress and in a movie called Rent a Pal with Will Wheaton. And it's a freaky looking movie. And you can go to rentapal.movie to rent it and check it out. And it looks like it's a trip. And she was a lot of fun to have on this morning. Brent Porsche is here.
Good morning. Happy
How
Friday.
Are you?
Doing
dude?
Well, thanks.
Excellent. You're wearing a hat that says Made for Mischief.
That's right. Friday. And it's the weekend, baby.
You're wearing an Aussie for President shirt.
Yes, love sir.
That. That's pretty cool. Is that new or have you had that before?
Yeah, this is new. This is something that he put out a whole new line of stuff, I guess, prior to the pandemic or through the pandemic. And this was one of them.
I love it, yeah. Man. Excellent. Well, you ready for this letter?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
The letter E, as in everybody's working for the weekend.
All right, and we have caller number 7 that gets our prize. So caller number 7. At 215-263-WMMR, you will be able to take some money into the weekend, and I'll get you the details on that in just a little bit. You got some stuff planned for the program?
Do I? Coming up at noon, Workforce Blocks, the reason why I'm wearing the Aussie shirt in the first place. Today's the 50th anniversary of the release of Paranoid from Black Sabbath.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to be highlighting some tunes from that. It's also the 50th anniversary of the passing of Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, we were just chatting about that. Yeah, so those two things happen on the same day.
Same day. Crazy, huh?
Wow, yeah.
You know, it's a short song, but Little Wing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece of music.
For someone that's as good as a guitar as he is, he can really get the point across in some 2-minute, 3-minute songs.
Right, right.
Yeah. Also coming up, Shinedown. Today's the 5th anniversary of their album Threat to Survival, so we're going to be highlighting stuff from that as well.
I love it, man. Thank you very much. Yeah. And have an enjoyable program. A reminder before we do get our winner and wrap for the day, Kathy's Fall Activities. If you're looking for something to do, Kathy did a lot of research, things that are available, even in pandemic quarantine times.
It's all the rage, but a lot of people agreeing that it's probably her best list yet.
And you'll want to get Kathy's Fall Activities long sleeve t-shirt.
Yes.
As well. Which is available for a limited time, right?
Yeah, limited time until Tuesday. So I know a lot of people have ordered it already, but get it this weekend if you can.
All right. And that's on WMMR.com as well as for a limited time sale, the Preston and Steve shower beer holder with a built-in Bluetooth speaker. So you can have your Bev in the shower and listen to MMR at the same time.
The freaking thing is staying on the wall like you have it stuck to the wall behind you, and it's on tightly.
Freaking stays there.
Freaking amazing.
Yeah, so.
Holding your alcohol with a Bluetooth speaker.
So you'll be able to get
so
that
so you can
now.
Wash off your cat brain.
And like, and like I said earlier, listen, it's only on sale till Tuesday, so... If you know a big fan of the show, order this as a Christmas gift.
Oh, good idea.
Uh-huh.
Might be kind of fun to find under the tree.
Yeah, get it now. And then we're going to go to the phones and see if we can get caller number 7. And it is Jody who is on the line. Hi, Jody.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. Jody, do you know the word of the week?
Steve.
Hello, Steve.
That's it. Yeah. Wow. Well done, Jody. Nice, simple prize for you, a $300 Visa gift card from Ardent Credit Union, okay?
Absolutely fabulous.
Drinks are on Jody this weekend.
Yes, they are, and I'm going to get a Bluetooth speaker now.
Excellent. Nice. Right. Good call. All right, hang on the line, Jody. We'll get your information, and don't forget, with Ardent Credit Union, free checking pays you cash. You can visit ardentcu.org. Thank you to our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by AutoPartsExpress.com.
Yay!
Hard to find brake name parts available the same day. Next week on the program, we're filling up Ian Somerhalder. You know from Lost.
Absolutely. And Vampire Diaries.
Correct. And Matthew Modine will be joining us from tons of great movies and Stranger Things. We also have, what does that say?
Dateline correspondent.
Oh, Dateline. It looks like a P. I'm like,
Pateline?
What is Pateline? Dateline correspondent Josh
Mankiewicz.
Mankiewicz.
You remember him, yeah.
And Big J Okers is going to be on the show. And we'll talk to our friend Tracy Davidson over at NBC because she's moving her shifts. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great weekend, and we will see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Hey, Mikey. No sad, bro. I quit. Have fun building f***ing doors.
Next message.
Sounds like everybody woke up on the right side of the dirt this morning. Gadzooks, happy Friday. No sad, bro. Have a good weekend.
Next message.
I plead with you. Get the f*** out of the left way! 95 is not yours! And I'm not talking about one or two of you. I'm talking about a procession of 30. You just hold the lane like it's yours.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.